less than an hour. Aircraft from here will join others from around the world. And you will be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind, huh? Words should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore.
Multiplex of CBS Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Show.
I am the world's blandest actor. I am an actor of no demonstrable skills or charisma. I have uninteresting, vague features and a nondescript voice and haircut. I am Bill Pullman. People repeatedly give me roles in films, even though no one can really remember anything I do. Even though I slide out of your brain as soon as the camera's off of my face, because I am completely and totally generic and bland and uninteresting and tedious.
What has Bill Pullman ever done to you?
I'm sorry?
What has Bill Pullman done to you? You seem to have an unlevel amount of hatred for him.
It's not that I hate Bill Pullman. I mean, I kind of hate Bill Pullman. I don't hate him the way I hate Kevin Costner.
But you are kind of right. I can't remember another movie
he's in except for Single. That's what I'm saying. That's my thing. Here's my thing about Bill Pullman. I don't hate Bill Pullman, but Bill Pullman is one of those guys. He's just one of our... Let me back up for a second. There is... Hey, is the Kevin and the Bean show still on? Does that show still air on KROQ? Or am I still? Okay, I don't know. I haven't been to California and listened to that station in a long time. There was, anyway, back in the day, there was this radio station, Kevin and the Bean, on KROQ. World famous KROQ. And they had Keanu Reeves on there. And I will never forget this. Keanu Reeves was on being interviewed, and this is about the time of... This was pre-Matrix. Post-Bill and Ted, pre-Matrix. It was when he was trying to make a go at, like, regular films. And that worked out badly for Keanu Reeves, because I defy anybody in this room right now to tell me any film that Keanu Reeves did between Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and The Matrix. Go.
Speed.
Okay, well, fair enough. I'll grant you Speed. I'll grant you Speed.
You should grant me Speed because it's accurate.
No. I'll give you that. Can you do another one? Just off the top of your head. Another Keanu Reeves film other than Speed.
Nope. The Devil's Advocate, was that after or before?
That was pre-Matrix. Okay, there you go. You got two. Okay, so there's two. I mean, that guy did like 30 films, though.
I'm sorry, I ruined your bit.
No, it's fine. It's, you know what? You can... You're more of an expert in that Keanu Reeves oeuvre than I am. I'm just saying, he didn't have a huge, auspicious career. He did have Speed. That was a big hit. I will totally cop to that. But he had the big star because he was in Dangerous Liaisons, and then he was in Bill and Ted's Big Adventure around the same time.
And then when was...
And then he came back...
Point Break.
Yeah, he was in Point Break in like 90 maybe or something.
See, there's a lot of, between those two movies.
Yeah, but none of them were any good. And then Speed was the only one that was a big hit, I think. I don't really think he had a hit film other than Speed between Bill and Ted's Big Adventure and The Matrix. I mean, I guess he had movies that maybe made money. He had movies that had some sort of life at the box office or maybe show up on cable now and again. I don't really think he had a big breakout picture, though. I think he had Speed, which was... But even that... Boy, when is the last time you sat and watched that piece of crap? You want to talk about a movie that doesn't hold up? Boy, Speed is just a big steaming load. Just a big load on wheels.
Except for Dennis Hopper.
Yeah, but even Dennis Hopper's terrible in that movie. Oh, and Sandra Bullock. Thank God we've gotten over her as a country. Good God. Sandra Bullock is the female. She is Bill Pullman with boobs. Sandra Bullock is Bill Pullman with a vagina. Just, you know, hello, I am the girl next door. Girl next door frequently just means boring, by the way. When guys, I want a real girl next door type. Sometimes girl next door means wholesome and sort of hot and kind of an accessible kind of way. Sometimes girl next door just means that she looks like a horse. I mean, what was I talking about? Anyway, so in the lull between Bill and Ted's Big Adventure, and I think even pre-Speed, so Keanu Reeves sort of, he was sort of out there waiting in the, he was out there waiting in the swimming pool of Hollywood, trying to get a big hit, trying to get a little traction. He was known as kind of a pretty boy, but couldn't really make anything work. Anyway, long way to go for a revelation, but they had him on the Kevin and the Bean show on KROQ, and I think it was Kevin actually said to him, he was there to promote that band of his Dog Star. That's what it was. He was there to promote that.
I forgot about that.
He was on there. Keanu Reeves was on KROQ to promote his band Dog Star, who were terrible. And Kevin just said, he opened the interview with, he said, hey, Keanu, I have a question. How does it feel to be our generation's most wooden actor? And that was it. And then Keanu Reeves just left. He was just like, F you. And he walked out of the studio, which was gold. I mean, the rest of the interview, I didn't have it. I think I just left the studio, just walked out. But, you know, it was all worth it. It was all worth it just for that one moment. Asking Keanu Reeves how it felt to be his generation's most wooden actor. Here's my thing about Bill Pullman. Bill Pullman is not a bad actor. He's not a wooden actor. He's just unbelievably bland, though. He was really unbelievably uninteresting. Bill Pullman is sort of a poor man's William Hurt. Am I thinking? There's the three guys I always get confused. William Hurt, and then there's Jeff Daniels, and then there's Jeff Bridges. And they always float together in my head. All three of those guys. And Bill Pullman, though, is like a washed-out Z-list version of all of those guys. I know it sounds like I got a disproportionate amount of anger about Bill Pullman. I really don't. It's just he's so completely and unbelievably just blurry around the edges and has no substance whatsoever.
He was in While You Were Sleeping with Sandra Bullock.
I thought Ricky Lake was in that.
No.
No, that's Mrs. December or whatever. Or Mrs. Doubtfire, whatever the hell that movie is.
I'm pretty sure that was both of them. That's your best movie ever.
We have to stop. We have to pull the ripcord on this right now. Stop this. My final observation about Bill Pullman.
God.
About Bill Pullman is this. You know what Bill Pullman is? Bill Pullman is who you hire when you can't get Corbin Burnson, who in turn you tried to hire because you couldn't get Kevin Costner. That's what it is. He is a third-generation Xerox of Kevin Costner. That's what Bill Pullman is. What is the last movie Bill Pullman did? I will give you $20 right now if you can tell me. I'm going to reach into my pocket. I'll give you all the cash in my pocket if you can tell me the last movie Bill Pullman did.
Jesus,
there's a time limit, by the way. It's not. I'm not going to give any time to instant message.
You know the last movie that he made?
No. 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 Hell no. No one knows. That's my point. No one knows the last movie Bill Pullman did.
Damn it.
All right.
I need $20.
Nope. Too late. Offer. Closing.
I think
Gone. He's
looking it up right now.
That's too late. It
didn't have to be another movie. He was a war hero and a president in Independence Day.
The best part is, as we're playing the Independence Day speech, Tim notes, I just watched that again last night. I get the feeling if I were to go to your house, it would just be a continuous loop of Independence Day on one screen and like the Maltese Falcon on another screen. Tim's skulking around the house in a trench coat making smoothies.
All right. He was in Surveillance. Oh. Noble Son.
No one even knows what that is.
And Scary Movie 4. That's kind of
sad. Hurrah. Well done, Bill Pullman.
He was in The Grudge. Damn it. I should have remembered that.
Oh, that's
He's
right.
He's a creepy dude at the beginning.
You know why I forgot? Completely vague and uninteresting. Anywho, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. It is 10 minutes, Jesus, and 14 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of... May, in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by and making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. We'd like to call us today, as many people already are. It is 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. With your comments, your questions, your clarifications, your conventions, your 2 cents, your what have you. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you, Scotty. He was also in. See? There you go. Scotty's bringing up a whole bunch of Keanu Reeves roles. I really honestly don't know. If you had to have a bland-off between Keanu Reeves and Bill Pullman, I really don't know who would win that. Keanu Reeves, he's pointing out a lot of movies he's been in.
He's also in One Sweet November.
Here's it. Why would you possibly pick, of all the movies in all the world, why would you pick One Sweet November? I've got a brain tumor, so I want to have as much unprotected sex as possible. Can you help me out with that?
Steal puppies. That was a terrible movie.
Here we go. Keanu Reeves, My Own Private Idaho.
And he was Justin Cameron, like he was also Midnight Cowboy. Or not Midnight Cowboy, what am I thinking of? Sorry, another one. Go ahead.
Well, he's in his own private Midnight Cowboy. I'm sorry, that was beneath me. That was a cheap joke. The Rick Emerson Show apologizes. Everybody's talking to me. He was also in Parenthood. See? But you know why you don't remember him? Goddamn bland. All right, 503-733-2970. I don't even know what we're doing here.
The strongest start to a show yet.
It really is. No, no, no. You know, this is relatable. Everybody has seen a Bill Pullman film, probably, whether you wanted to or not. Whether you wanted to or not. You know who
he
else?
He was in Mr. Wrong with Ellen. That movie's terrible.
You know, and here's the thing about Bill Pullman. Bill Pullman is sort of like the typo negative, I think, which is like the universal donor. You could put Bill Pullman in a lot of movies, and he's so unbelievably lifeless and as a person, has so little charisma, has so little substance to him, that he could, paradoxically, he could work in almost anything. Arachnophobia. He could totally be the dad in Arachnophobia, the doctor who moved to Canaima. He could totally be that guy.
Was that him?
No, see, that's what I'm saying. You don't even know. He could be that guy. It wasn't him. It was the other guy. Oh, I can't remember. This is a bad start to the show. It's 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up today. We have Bill more, and you know I'm going to talk to Lisa Goddard about this. More Bill Pullman talk later. I wonder if there's a Bill Pullman fan club. I wonder if there's some sort of a...
Would you like to start one?
Yes. It's going to be on my MySpace with my people I want to meet. Go to MySpace.com/Bill Pullman. See what comes up. All right. We're going to talk to CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard today. Hey, speaking of guys that you probably don't know their names but would recognize them if you saw them on the screen, guess who's running for president?
You know what Bill Pullman... Oh, who?
Yes, go ahead.
You know what Bill Pullman's quote is?
No.
I played Gina Davis's husband in The League of Their Own.
Did he?
Yes, remember he was the war hero.
No, I don't remember. That's the whole thing. Did he stand on a stump and yell about something? Did he stand on top of a box and yell at a crowd? That seems to be the only time that anybody in this room remembers him.
No, he's all limpy, though, when he comes in.
Okay. Anywho, Lisa Goddard from CNN Radio, Washington, D.C. is going to join us today. We're going to talk about Fred Thompson, who's going to be... Fred Thompson quit Law & Order. He quit Law & Order, going to be running for president. Running for president 2008. I don't think he's going to win, but he's going to make it interesting because he's the only guy that doesn't come into this pack in a whole lot of baggage, and everybody looks at him and kind of knows who he is because he's a character actor. He's sort of rumply looking. So we will talk to Lisa Goddard about Fred Thompson running for president. Today we have the top five. We're going to give Scotty a chance to redeem himself. He failed badly, poorly, miserably, terribly on the top five songs you're more than likely to hear coming out of a Primer Gray Camaro. So today, Scotty will be endeavoring to do the following top five. Top five songs you are more than likely going to hear coming out of a Volkswagen Bug as it drives by. This is the classic Bug, by the way, not the revamped Bug. Top five songs you will hear coming out of a Volkswagen Bug. What else? Today we'll be announcing the Glorious Bastard of the Week. Glorious Bastard of the Week. And if you have not yet signed up to become a AM970 Glorious Bastard, you got to do that because soon, we're going to be drawing names. We're going to be giving people a chance to go see OMSI Body Worlds 3, which opens next Thursday, I believe. I believe it is next Thursday that opens. We're going to be giving away opening night passes to OMSI Body Worlds 3. And then I think it's for the next 5 weeks, might be for four. Oh, hold me to this. But for the next several weeks, the Glorious Bastard of the Week will also score tickets to OMSI Body World 3. That is starting next week. So if you have not signed up, go to 970.am right now. You got to do that. What else do we have? Well, some other things. Jim Roop is going to answer the magical question, how crazy is Phil Spector today? We've got the people calling in about Bill Pullman. Look at this. Wants to weigh in on Bill Pullman controversy, says the screen. Fantastic. Joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Is that really Bill Pullman's webpage? His MySpace page?
No, it's really creepy, too, because it's run by some crazy person, you can tell. And it says about me.
I love Bill Pullman. It
says, I am a simple man with simple tastes. I love people named Josh and love taking them out to fancy restaurants.
Here's the thing, though. Like,
is that Bill Pullman?
I was just going to say, if you told me, I like big glasses of warm water. Like, if you told me that was Bill Pullman's page, I would totally believe it. I like sitting on the sofa and staring at walls.
Do you really think Bill Pullman's quote is about playing Gina Davis's husband?
I don't know. Maybe that's part
so
of
many
his,
bigger roles.
Maybe that's part of his wry sense of humor. All right.
That kooky Bill Pullman.
That darn Bill Pullman. You know, Bill Pullman's one of those guys, though, that in...
Will you stop saying Bill Pullman?
In 15 years, it's going to be... See, we're ahead of the curve here, because Bill Pullman is funny to us now. In, like, 10 years, he'll be one of those guys that turns up on a show like Arrested Development. Remember in Arrested Development how Carl Weathers just started hanging around, like, eating all their food? You know, and Carl Weathers, are you going to eat that ham sandwich? I'm Carl Weathers. That's going to be the thing. Bill Pullman is the new Carl Weathers. You write down that I said that. You write it down right now, you sons of bitches. Bill Pullman is the new Carl Weathers. There you go. Working on the following real news stories for your edification today that have nothing to do with Bill Pullman. This is Tim Riley.
Well, the Rose Festival begins today.
Hurrah.
Do everything you can to stay away from it.
Yes.
The tall ships are here and Bill Pullman entertains. A driver is caught speeding through Kalama in reverse. An Estacada man falls off a cliff and dies. And Tiger Teeth is disqualified from the National Spelling Bee. The extreme TV guy is now being treated in Colorado.
Oh, is that it?
That's enough.
Are we?
That's more than what you usually get.
It's true. And we have somebody falling to their death in Estacada. What more do we need? That really is it. And is the Rose Festival starting? When does that start?
Right after the Estacada man falls off the cliff.
Is that the opening signal?
I believe so, yes.
Is that like waiting for a flare in the sky? Wait. There's the Estacada man falling from the cliff. It has begun. And we all drink flagons of mead.
Yeah, I guess all the squeaky rides open today.
Is that why that is? Is that... I'm such a bad Portlander in so many ways, because can I just say this? I am not speaking on behalf of CBS Radio. I am not even speaking on behalf of this radio station. I am simply speaking for me, Rick Emerson.
As an individual.
I don't... Yes. I am not representing or speaking for AM 970, its management, staff, advertisers, or assigns. I don't care about the Rose Festival. You can't make me care. There's nothing you can do to make it interesting for me. Unless you're going to shove more people off of high things. But biking over the bridge, as I did today, you bastards, I saw those rides set up down there. Is that what that's for? That must be what it's for.
It's to attract the people on the east side to buy better drugs. They get on 82nd Street. At least for a week.
There ought to be just a new ride down there called the Crack Slinger. All right. Drug humor. All right. I'll come over in a minute and look at the Bill Pullman MySpace page. Hey, speaking of which, though, let me just say this. And you know what I have written down here as a note to myself? This is a total coincidence. Because you were talking about how he was married to Gina Davis in A League of Their Own, which is a great movie, by the way. An underrated film. A League of Their Own is a fine film. I cry every time I watch it, even though there is no crying in baseball. Let me just say this.
When they're singing in the museum in the end?
No, it's just, yeah, it's just, you know what? And you know what? You want to call me a pussy? That's fine. Doesn't matter. It's a sports film, and so I'm allowed to cry. The end of A League of Their Own, you just have to, you know, they're walking through there, and the one mom is dead, and there's the son going, well, mom would have loved this. And they just pull every trick out, just every sports movie trick out of the book, just to kick you in the heart over and over again, so you're just weeping like a small child. And then they play that Madonna song, this used to be my playground, at the end. All right, I have to quit talking about this. I'm just going to say this, though.
And Madonna's awesome in it, too.
Here's the thing, All the Way May. Here's the thing about Gina Davis. I wrote this down last night. I went to the movies last night. I went to the local Bijou. I went to the movie house. And I just wrote down, what is wrong with Gina Davis's face? When is the last time you saw a real good picture of Gina Davis? Something has really gone wrong with her. No, seriously. I don't even remember what it was for. If anybody has gone to a Regal Cinema in the last couple of weeks, please do be calling. I guess the phones are busy, but call at some point and tell me. I can't even remember what it's a commercial for, but it's a Regal Cinema last night. We went to see that movie Waitress, and before it, there was an ad, or maybe it was a turn off your cell phone thing, or maybe it was some sort of give for breast cancer, something or other. You know, one of those things they played before the movie. It wasn't a trailer. It wasn't a preview. It was like a just some sort of a interstitial spot, but it was Gina Davis, and I swear to God, there's something. I don't. Her face frightened me. I don't know what it is. And it's not just that she's gotten older. It's not like, hey, there's Gina Davis. She's 10 years older than she was the last time I saw her. It's not that. First of all, it's like she's got now two complete sets of teeth inside her mouth. It's like, she's like a shark, where she's got the regular row of teeth in the front. But then it's like she's got a supplemental row of teeth behind the regular set, and she can't close her mouth all the way when she talks. And they're extra big, and they're extra shiny, and it almost looks like she's wearing big-ass, like those braces that are the colors of your teeth that they get sometimes, like, you can buy those now, braces, but instead of being metal, the braces are the color of your teeth, so you theoretically don't see them. But if you've ever known anybody who had those braces that were the color of your tooth enamel, they're not invisible. It just looks like you've got big, crusty chunks of enamel all over the front of your teeth. It just looks like your teeth are covered in weird bumps. That's what Gina Davis's mouth looks like. She looks like Richard Kiel as Jaws in the Bond films. That's what she looks like. And then her face, it is as though
it's
someone...
It's big.
That's what I'm saying. It's like someone has taken her head and sort of squashed it down, widened it, and then stuck a nozzle up her and slowly begun inflating her skull. And then she was all waxy looking, too. Her face was all waxing and shiny. And I'll feel bad if I do this whole thing and then somebody calls up and tells me she's got consumption or some disease or something.
Oh, she's fine.
She's not fine. She may not have consumption. Gina Davis is pretty effing far from fine. I don't know the most recent photo you're going to be able to find of her.
I'm trying to find...
Here's the thing. I encourage you to go to a Regal Cinema, and I don't say that very often. I encourage you to go to a Regal Cinema and to see this thing with Gina Davis just so you can witness the horror of her face. I mean, and there was this thing in the theater. Did you ever have that moment when somebody comes on the screen and you're like, well, who's this person? And then they say, hello, I'm, you know, insert world famous celebrity that you should have spotted right away. And everybody in the room kind of goes, oh. And it's that whole sort of, oh, I didn't even recognize her.
She does look weird.
There's something really wrong with Gina Davis's face. You just make a note to yourself. All right.
She got caps or something. Her teeth look weird.
They're the wrong size.
They're huge.
Somebody should ask her if those were caps meant for someone else, if there was a kooky mix-up in the lab. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Look at those teeth. I'm surprised she can even close her mouth all the way, if she can. I mean, she probably... I don't know how she can chew without blinding herself. I mean, those teeth are huge. All right, let me get a couple of these. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Hello, what's up?
Hey, if today's theme is mediocre actors, I'd like to throw the name of Bill Paxton out there. I don't know who's the poor man's version of which.
I have to say that I like Bill Paxton.
I don't one bit. I agree with you, sir.
He can be a little bland. He's not necessarily a showy actor.
Those teeth of his, just like his mannerisms and his face.
So now I got Sarah going.
What a terrible person you are. His mannerisms and his face.
That big gap in his teeth and just he's just
You don't find that endearing in sort of an Iowa way?
I find him obnoxious and repellent. I won't watch things sometimes just because
he's in Titanic, though. You have to watch him.
He was in Titanic.
And he was annoying.
No, and here's the thing. And I will always love Bill Paxton because he was Hicks in Aliens. And he said the immortal line about, you know, game over, man. He was Hicks in Aliens. I can't hate him. I have no problem with Bill Paxton. I quite like Bill Paxton.
Yeah, I gotta say that between the two... between Bill Pullman and Bill Paxton, he'd probably be able to look better in a primer gray Camaro.
Are we really having this conversation?
Yeah.
Bill Paxton versus Bill Pullman. Could we find two actors that the audience cares about less? All right. Thank you, sir.
Hey, take care.
At least I'm over my hatred of Don Cheadle.
See, that just doesn't make any sense. Who hates Don Cheadle? All right. Whatever. No, I'm not even going to get started on it.
Don't think it up.
Okay. And what about that John C. Reilly? Screw him. Let's see. We got a couple of these. Our good friend Brad. Hello, sir.
Hey, this is frightening. I was weighing in as Bill Paxton as well as my other choice for the most.
What is the problem people have with Bill Paxton?
Okay. He made Jamie Gertz look like Meryl Streep in Twister.
Okay. And Jamie Gertz is kind of... anyway. So Bill Paxton is, I will say this, he isn't necessarily, again, a very dazzling actor. Okay. Hey, Amber, then. Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. It's Hal.
Hey.
There's a movie called Sibling Rivalry.
Yeah.
That Bill Pullman played a retarded guy.
Okay. This is
Have
now a perfect
that?
Storm of Bill Pullman greatness. No, no, of course not. No one has. Just you.
Yeah. Well, it's one of my favorite movies. Kirstie Alley's in it. It's
a pretty good movie. Sounds fantastic.
What's it called again?
Bill Pullman and Kirstie Alley.
It's called Sibling Rivalry.
Yeah. Is this a thin Kirstie Alley or is this a big Kirstie Alley?
Yeah, it's a thin, it's an old movie.
Yeah, what happened?
And she plays this woman who has an affair with a guy and then the guy dies. And
he's retarded?
And Bill Pullman actually plays the guy that comes in and finds that body.
All right. We'll look into it. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right, and one more and then we got a break. Hello, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, I don't know who cares, but I don't want you to be walking around thinking you were right. Bill Paxton was Hudson. Michael Bean.
Aaron just sent that to
That's right.
Me
he
too.
Was Hudson, not Hicks. Michael Bean was Hicks. Michael Bean.
Because I remember that wonderful line where their sergeant goes, "Somebody wake up, Hicks," and Michael Bean's over there out cold.
No, and there's the other thing where Bill Paxton says, "How do I get out of this chicken ass outfit?" And Eddie goes, "Hey, stow that ass, Hudson." Yeah. All right. No. What does that even? Thank you. What does that even mean? That line. Look into my eye. That the guy says. That Apone says in Aliens. It doesn't even make any sense. Stay in the cold like a day in the farm. No, I was wrong about that. There's no way to get around. I was wrong. All right. Every meal a banquet. Every paycheck a fortune. All right, now I'm overcompensating.
You right, sure are. Sure.
I know. I love that movie. And shut up. I know what I'm talking about. All right. When you come back, we're never talking about Bill Pullman again or Paxton. Lisa Goddard around the corner. We got Tim Riley ahead with the AM 970 New News Hour. Scotty J and so forth, plus Jim Roof. You stay there. It's a Rick Emerson Show. Oh, I don't get to hear the speech coming back from every break today. Oh, that's too bad.
Well, that isn't the last time you'll hear it today.
Lucky me. Why, hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's, I don't know, for the love of...
Scotty J, I'm tired of playing your regular sound over. Will you please come in here for just a moment before we talk to Lisa Goddard? Thank you so much.
I gotta get a new sounder made for that guy. I'm playing the Scotty J sounder now, just... It just got sick of me. I'm done. I'm done with it. This one... I can't take it anymore. Scotty J, our intrepid PA, joining us now on the Rick Emerson Show. Good morning, Scotty, and how are you today?
Apparently, I've finally amounted to something then. Doing great, Rick.
Do you prepare these little one-liners before you come into the studio? Do you write down little glib things to say?
I do it the night before.
What was that in response to?
Prep work.
Yeah, it doesn't. It does. All right. I don't understand the description of this call.
Okay, there is a song that TriMet wrote and produced about chilling on the max. It's clean, but it is probably just as bad as the Portland song. Or it's funny.
Wait, well, so where is it? Have you heard it?
Well, this gentleman here sent you a link to it. And
right. Can he hold on for a second?
Sure.
To Lisa. All right, so here's the thing. But just real quickly, here's what Scotty's done, though. You've written two names on the screen. One of them is his real name, and one of them is his fake name. And then you write, "Don't use his real name."
Because he said you'll know who he is.
Well, don't even put his real name on the screen if you don't want me to say it. It says, I won't use them, but it says basically, Phil/Ted. Don't use real name. How am I to know which of these is the real name?
the one in brackets is the real name, but here's the deal. You go, hey, wait a second, is this such and such? And I wanted to make sure you didn't do that.
I see. Okay. And so I'm going to talk to Lisa, then I'll talk to him about this song.
Okay, great.
All right. Thank you, Scotty. Are you hungover today?
No.
Uh-huh. Okay, thanks. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the hills. CNN radio correspondent to the stars, Lisa Goddard. Why, hello there, and how are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm dandy. Let me ask you a question.
I will.
Can you name for me more than one film that Bill Pullman has made that is not Independence Day?
Oh, he's made so many, and I can't name them.
See? There you go. That's it. I don't mean to... Just so you know, we're not political. I'm not trying to make you the object of fun. I'm just saying we were... I noted today that he is our blandest actor because he's made like 500 films and other...
A bajillion films, right?
That's what I'm saying. He made Independence Day, and after laboring for a while, we were able to do unearth a couple other Bill Pullman nuggets from our psyches. But really, that guy makes like 10 films a year, and nobody can think of any of them. So... That's all I'm saying. Keanu Reeves, there's a sort of a, he has a milder version of the same condition. It's hard to think of the things that Keanu Reeves has made as well. But, you know, what are you going to do?
The good movies. He's got a couple of big ticket ones is what helps him.
Well, that's the thing. We were talking about how he made Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Right.
And then he made The Matrix. Now, and in between, he did make Speed. Other than that, though, it gets kind of hard to think about. It was a little difficult to conjure up other movies that Keanu Reeves had made.
Was he not in A Few Good Men?
No.
Okay, no. I just figure everybody was in that.
No, that's what I'm saying. Bill Pullman's probably in it somewhere, though. Probably lurking in the back room. You know what's weird? Go back and watch A Few Good Men. I don't know when the last time you saw that was. You know what's weird about that? And I was just thinking about it last night because I'm an Aaron Sorkin fanatic. And, of course, that is an Aaron Sorkin film based upon his prize-winning play of the same name. The great thing about A Few Good Men is, in addition to just being a fantastically written film, when you go back and watch it now, look at how weird Kiefer Sutherland looks. You know, because Kiefer Sutherland, he is a bell curve, Kiefer Sutherland, because, first of all, I know that all chicks dig him. And when he was young, and I can say this, I'm secure in my manhood, when he was young, like Stand By Me, Kiefer Sutherland, Brotherhood of Justice, Kiefer Sutherland, he was really hot, very cute, good-looking guy, very young, tough, kind of juvenile, delinquent hot. I can totally see that.
Right.
Then, in A Few Good Men, he's just... pudgy and bald with big flappy Dumbo ears that stick out and just looks hideous. And then suddenly, bam, he's on 24 and he's hot again. So that guy, I don't know if this is the real Keanu, with the real Kiefer Sutherland. I don't know if he's really secretly ugly and they make him look attractive, or if they just deliberately fattened him up and made him look like a corn-chewing hillbilly for A Few Good Men. So, anyway.
You know what early Keanu... the Shakespeare, Much Ado About Nothing was fantastic. It really was Bill and Ted's in Shakespeare.
That's
Did
a
you
phrase,
ever see that?
Phrase you don't hear too often. No, the answer to that is no.
Oh, it was hilarious.
I have, you know,
also Dangerous Liaisons.
No, Dangerous Liaisons.
Good movies. It's amazing he was in them.
I did note that. Dangerous Liaisons, in which he dueled.
That's right. That was him, right?
Dangerous Liaisons did have Keanu Reeves, but here's the great thing about that. And don't get me wrong, I love Dangerous Liaisons. Dangerous Liaisons
fantastic.
Is a fantastic film. At the risk of, I don't mean to sound creepy, but it is a very erotic film in a lot of ways. Very, you know, erotic's the wrong term, but it is very, you know.
It is, I would say.
I guess, but I mean, it's not in the way that, not on the 9.5 weeks.
No, it is. There's a sensual quality to it.
Totally, because it's got, and the fact that they can take, Glenn Close, who is not a traditionally attractive or feminine woman in a lot of ways,
right,
and make her so seductive. I mean, it's a great movie, and it has Uma Thurman in it. I think it's Uma Thurman's first on-screen role, actually.
Oh, no kidding.
Dangerous Liaisons. Uma Thurman.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yes, and Uma Thurman is the young handmaid.
Yes.
Who is horrified, I think, because...
She was a nobility, I believe, in that movie.
She was horrified by, I think, Keanu Reeves' advances or something. And
she was brought up in a convent.
And then Gina Davis. And then Glenn Close gives her the whole talk about her. And as long as you take some elementary precautions, you can do that as often as you want with as many people as you want for the rest of your life. I'll always remember that speech. But Keanu Reeves is in there. The great thing about that movie is that every time Keanu Reeves walks on the screen in Dangerous Liaisons, just all the momentum and art just falls right out of it. Because every time he says anything, there's just sort of in your head like an implied kind of dude at the end. Like
right. Exactly. Same with the Kenneth Branagh, like Much Ado About Nothing. Exactly.
Why would he ever be in a movie with Kenneth Branagh? Why one of the most accomplished and esteemed actors of this generation, why would he ever cast Keanu Reeves in a movie with him?
You know, maybe we're not giving Keanu enough credit. Maybe he's, you know...
Yeah.
He makes it look... What he does looks easy.
It's effortless.
Maybe that's why he's good.
Right. It's
maybe?
Just, he's so that natural is? That he just makes it look smooth. All right.
Right.
Well, whatever you say. Hey, but on the subject, you won't believe the amount of email I've gotten about Bill Pullman today since we started talking about this.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So, on the subject of actors and so forth and blah, blah, and hey, look, it's that guy.
Yeah.
Fred Thompson.
How about it?
Is it true he quit Law & Order?
I believe that has been in the works already, though.
All right. And so that is not related. Is that related to this, or is that...
Yes, I know of. It's possible that decision was made earlier. He still hasn't decided for sure that he's running for president, because you know how this goes.
Right.
But in the next 2 months.
And so this... So in other words, he hasn't formally announced it, because I'm hearing sort of conflicting reports today about has he or hasn't he, or...
He has not formally announced it. He is... beginning his exploratory process, his official testing of the water. His official, it's unofficial, I'm unofficially thinking about it.
For the love of God.
Which means, essentially, he's going to start hiring some staff and raising some money. But this is the game with this, is the next series of financial reports is due June 30th. What Fred Thompson doesn't want to do is get in the race before that, because otherwise he'll have to submit a financial report. His fundraising numbers would be compared to everybody else's, only he'll have much less time. So the thinking among most people, including many of his sort of close-knit supporters, is that if he does announce, it will be after June 30th.
All right. And so because
he's saying, yeah, I think I'm in the hunt, and you know, I want to see how much money I can raise and what my status is.
Well, the advantages that Fred Thompson has are legion. I mean, A, in that he's got... The great thing about Fred Thompson, if you're him, is that he's got face recognition with people for reasons that they can't really, probably a lot of the public can't even really put their finger on, which I think is the best.
That's right.
It really is a weird, sort of thing, but it is a great advantage to him in that, unlike, let's say, Ronald Reagan or Clint Eastwood or somebody, who they look at him and they go, oh yeah, Clint Eastwood, he's running for president, or, you know, he's running for mayor of Carmel or whatever it is. Fred Thompson, people look at him, even if they don't remember where they've seen him, they might even subconsciously feel comfortable with him.
I think that's right, yes.
Familiar with him, and yet they're not going to have, he won't have the baggage of Hollywood actor, because I would guess probably 50% of the people who are familiar with him won't remember why, and
right.
They will just sort of already feel acclimated to him for reasons that they couldn't even really clarify.
I think that's right. You know, so it sounds like you're advocating, maybe you just haven't consciously figured this out yet, it sounds like you're looking for a Thompson Pullman ticket.
Yeah.
Is that what you're
saying? Yeah, that's exactly what this country needs. And then Bill Pullman should just go around standing on things and giving speeches and rallying the rest of the world to the American cause.
People who have inspired us 5 minutes at a time.
And then the best, I forget whether it was Sarah or somebody else who pointed this out, the best part of Independence Day is, and this is a really relative statement, I guess, but the best part of Independence Day is when... why did we even start talking about Independence Day 2 weeks ago? Because we've been on an Independence Day thing.
Yeah, seriously.
I don't even know when it was. But somebody, I don't even, it might have even been you, Lisa, somebody made this observation about how at the end when Jeff Goldblum has, to, you know, he's figured out exactly how to upload this virus from like a Macintosh computer onto the alien spacecraft. And they cut to like the British who are huddled around. You know, or sitting there, like, eating their own feet, huddled around a bunch of candles, listening to a shortwave radio.
I hate that line, too. It's like, the Americans have a plan.
Well, it's about time, you know, because that's it. That's it. Just the worst, most patronizing, most pandering, jingoistic line in the history of films.
Great.
The rest of the country is just hapless, just sitting around, thumbs in their asses, because they can't do anything until Jeff Goldblum comes to the rescue.
Fantastic. Jesus.
All right. Well,
I've got a quick news rundown for you. We do have a couple of items of news today.
Excellent.
First of all, the president is calling for a world conference or a sort of summit on global warming sometime, I guess, in the fall. And all the world leaders are, a lot of world leaders on global warming or say maybe that's hopeful. And he's calling for industrialized nations to cut down their carbon emissions. So we'll see what he's willing to put on the table, but he's starting to talk more about that. So that's number one. Number two, in the U.S. attorney scandal, which, boy, it's been a good 4 days maybe since we've talked about Alberto Gonzalez. I don't know if people have been following that probably know that of the eight attorneys who were fired, one of them, the U.S. attorney in Arkansas, the White House admitted that he was fired to make room for Karl Rove's protege,
right,
a guy named Tim Griffin. And Tim Griffin's been serving as the interim U.S. attorney there, I think, since December. Well, CNN has now gotten word that that man, Tim Griffin, for whom the job was vacated, is now himself resigning effective tomorrow. So we don't know why he's resigning, but it certainly can't be great for the Justice Department and for Karl Rove. That plan maybe didn't go so well.
Has the worm turned for Karl Rove in terms of conventional wisdom on him within the GOP?
I don't think so. I think those who are his fans are still his fans. I think there may be those who are on the bubble who kind of, you know, went along, thought, you know, looked to him as their leader but weren't quite sure. I think they're less sure. But I think the devoted Kool-Aid drinkers, I think they still believe that he knows that he really was the architect of two major victories for the Republicans. And I think they just don't think his theory necessarily applies anymore because of the Iraq War. But they do think, I think most people still think he's a brilliant political mind.
I read in, where was it? It wasn't the Times. It was, I forget what it was a big in-depth interview with Newt Gingrich. And obviously,
how about that?
Newt Gingrich is, you know, he is obviously is a bit of a self-serving man and has his own interests at heart, especially as the political, as 2008 comes up on us, because he's still, you know, one of those guys who's being very coy about will he, won't he. But man, God, he just took an axe to Karl Rove. I mean, just...
Right.
I mean, and didn't pull any punches. I mean, laid the recent implosion of the GOP squarely at Karl Rove's feet.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you have perhaps in the past made the Darth Vader references, which I wouldn't be surprised if someone else picks up on, so you might want to copyright that.
Yes, I cover all comparisons between Karl Rove. Well, Newt Gingrich will probably be the first to do that.
It's Republicans who will do that, that's right.
He's a colossal nerd. I was watching the Star Wars Legacy documentary the other day, and it was so weird. They were talking about, we'll get back to actual news in just a second, but they were talking about the Joseph Campbell, Hero with a Thousand Faces, Hero's Journey, the perpetual mythology and how the latest incarnation of that has been things like Harry Potter, but of course Star Wars did that and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so they're talking about Star Wars and how it is descended from the great myths of history and Excalibur and so forth.
Yes, I saw that, yes.
Yeah, so you know that they're talking to Peter Jackson and they're talking to, like, you know, they're talking to guys from Lucasfilm and they're talking to Harry Potter fan fiction writers, and then they kept going back to Newt Gingrich.
Right, or Nancy Pelosi.
I know, like
What are they doing in there?
And Newt Gingrich clearly, I mean, knows his stuff. He's obviously not there just to grease the geek wheel. I mean, he clearly knows what he's talking about.
At least it's true. At least he was a history professor. But then they throw your Tom Brokaw or your Nancy Pelosi in there. And you're, what? Okay, so another quick one.
Yes.
The front runner, the number one guy who was going to win the National Spelling Bee, I can't use my words suddenly. Sameer Patel has fallen out of the National Spelling Bee. He's gone.
Do you know what the word was?
Yes, it was clevis. Or I might be pronouncing. There was some controversy over the pronunciation, but I do believe in the end it was clevis.
Do you have the definition?
It's a Norwegian word. I know this. Let's see. He misspelled it with an ICE on the end, and I believe it was the more simple CLEVIS. I don't remember what it means.
Yeah, I have no... See, this is a thing that I have
very
no...
specific.
I have no acumen for spelling bees. I mean, I like to think of myself... The bar is set so low in America for being a good speller or having correct grammar skills. I like to... I mean, there's people around me who correctly call me, you know, a bit of a grammar Nazi, which is fine because I know where semicolons go.
Right.
And I know when to use an ellipsis and when to use a dash. But boy, you know, every time I... But that's just because most Americans are really, really dumb. And every time I start thinking that I'm a good speller, all it takes is one of these spelling bee stories, and I just feel like a five-year-old with you.
These words are unbelievable. Right, okay, so clevis is a type of fastening device, and they think it might be Norwegian. They weren't really sure, but anyway, this 13-year-old had been to the National Spelling Bee five times. If anyone has ever seen the movie Spellbound, the documentary, he was the one who came in number two that year. He was sort of the one that everyone was afraid of, but he can't return. This is his fifth and final time. All right, and then one last thing, going back to smallpox,
As we always do.
Really, exactly. The tuberculosis scare. It turns out the man, the Atlanta attorney, who has this strain of tuberculosis that we now know is resistant to most drugs, and that's why everyone was so nervous about it. Turns out his father-in-law works for the CDC with tuberculosis. That apparently his job is to be a disease researcher dealing with tuberculosis.
Wait, so he does or his father-in-law
his
does?
His father-in-law is a researcher.
So is this like the father-in-law bringing samples home from work and leaving them on the pantry or something?
No,
or
no one knows. No one is sure what you know. It seems very logical that there would be some kind of connection, but we don't know that there is one.
Yeah, that seems to defy the law of probability if there is.
It does. It seems this is a very rare strain that this young man has, and now we know that his father-in-law is a tuberculosis researcher at the CDC in Atlanta.
By the way, and I got a fantastic email from a listener of mine who says, this listener says, by the way, Rick, they brought that guy with drug-resistant tuberculosis to Denver, so if you don't hear from me for a while or if I don't email you, I'm probably dead. So there you go. So I have some listeners who are in the immediate vicinity. Speaking of trademarking jokes, I'm just going to say this. I haven't quite got it figured out. There's one syllable I'm lacking, but the joke, which, if I knew John Stewart's home number, I would just call and give it to him now, is something along the lines of supercalifragilistic tuberculosis.
Oh, nice, right.
But bad doesn't really work. There's got to be some other one-syllable word. So if you can finish that out and pass it along to Stephen Colbert when he's at your wedding.
So you've seen that on the website?
Yes. Somebody pointed.
No, you were still looking. Yes, Stephen Colbert is the winner of our celebrity poll on what celebrity we would invite to the wedding. But as you saw, he was really the second place.
Yeah, well, I guess Charles Nelson Reilly couldn't really refuse to come now. All you need is a cooperative relative and a Volkswagen.
Oh, I was so excited that Charles Nelson Reilly had won. And then just as we were getting ready to make the announcement, he died.
You know, that Bill Pullman's not doing anything right now. He is between projects.
Remember that. All right. Stephen Colbert is in front right now.
All right, as it should be. All right. I think we've probably exhausted all of the... I've made every...
Yeah, that was just a blitz of news.
A blitz of news interspersed with bits of complete and the random inanity. So
that's right.
So really, it is all great things here. All right, fantastic.
You know, your picture's up on our website now. Are you okay with?
Oh yeah. By the way, thanks for using a terrible photo of me, which Sarah is now looking at. Thanks for using an awful photograph of me that horrifies me every time I see it.
Well, all right. We can switch that out.
No, it's fine. It's okay. Just put up like a stick figure of some kind. Just put up a stick drawing. All right. I know you got to go. So we will let you go. We will talk to you in the very near future. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Lisa Goddard from the Hill. Fantastic. Jesus. That was an action-packed segment. All the things we got covered there. And I'm still not done. I still got to do these. Okay, hello, Joe. Hi.
Hello there, Rick.
Hey, what's up?
So, in the course, by the way, before we get to this MP3 thing, suggested for a listener party, Lisa Goddard wedding reception.
Oh, yes, how could that possibly go wrong? What could possibly be the downside of doing that?
Myriad ways, I would think. Yeah. So, in the course of my somewhat vaguely defined job description, I came across a CD which was produced, and I don't have in front of me, so I don't know the names of the artists themselves, but the splashed across the front of the CD cover, the title was Chillaxin' on the Max.
Oh, God. Are you kidding me?
No, it's co-produced. It's co-produced by TriMet, and based on the lyrics, I only got to hear a couple of seconds of it because I was at work, but based on the lyrics, it is a hip-hop song that is in part based to educate people on how to safely ride the Max, cross Max tracks. I sent it to you at about 11 o'clock dead even. Should be in your box.
11 o'clock today?
Yep, today.
Do you know what the subject line was?
I believe it's chillaxinonthemax.mp3.
All right, did you send it to me as an attachment?
I sent it as an attachment to rick@rickemerson.com.
Sadly, I may not have gotten it. My email has been dropping a lot of attachments for some reason.
All right, well, if you give me like a Scotty J email address or something, once I'm off the air, I can
Here's the thing. I'll put you on hold, and I'm going to have Scotty give you my other email address, one that I don't give it on the air. It's not like it's some world secret, you know, state secret email address, but I don't give it out so it doesn't get clogged up. I'm going to put you on hold because we are desperate to hear that.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Hold on, sir. All right. Scotty, so do you want to give him my... Well, he can send it there, too. Okay, have him send it there, yeah. Yeah, have him send it to that one. Send it to Scotty J at the, yeah, or whatever it is. Yeah, okay. Yeah, give him that email address and we'll get him played. Thank you, sir. All right. Real quickly, these people got
guest book is hilarious.
The Lisa Goddard guest book, because it's filled with our nutcase listeners who are...
They're really sweet to her, though.
You hold Rick in the palm of your hand, Lisa. That's the best entry. I read it once.
I really like the picture from your Big Game Makeover, too.
Yeah, no, that's a fantastic photo. Thanks so much. I don't want to make it seem like I hang out on Lisa Goddard's guest book a lot. I did go there, though, because Seamus sent me a link saying, hey, Lisa posted a thing about you, and apparently... It was just friends and relatives posting in the Lisa Goddard wedding guest book, and then suddenly our audience found it, and they just started filling it up with, I am a glorious bastard, hello! And she had to post a whole thing explaining to, like, to the parents, you know, like, who these people were that were suddenly posting there. And so then there's a picture of me, and this is an awful picture. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, it's Jesse Vancouver.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, you had a post on the front of your webpage saying you were looking for a place.
I was looking for a convenience store. It was for a project not related to the show, but I was trying to track down a convenience store we could use for like a day. Yeah,
I think I have one actually here in Vancouver who happens to be a Viso selling establishment.
Excellent. That would be very cool. Can you do me a favor? Can you drop me an email with that information?
Sure, no problem.
That would be fantastic. If you do that, just put that in the subject line too, so I see it when it goes by.
All right, will do.
Excellent. Thank you, my friend.
You bet, man.
All right, there you go. And finally. Hi, about Gina Davis. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. This is TriMed Mike.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? That Shellaxon on the Maxim thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it lasted about a week, and they pulled it because it was so bad.
Fantastic. I can't wait to hear it. It's so frustrating that my email has been dropping attachments recently. I wonder how many bad songs like that come in that I don't get to hear.
Well, you know, somebody got paid a lot of money to offend absolutely everybody.
Excellent.
On that song. It is so bad.
I can't wait to play it.
And Gina Davis at the Regal Cinemas is the Will Rogers Institute.
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is.
They're begging for money.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right, man. She looks like a bloated old drunk. She's really bad.
Who's she married to? Rennie Harlan. That's right. She's married to Rennie Harlan, the guy who made Cutthroat Island.
No. She's been divorced from him for a long time. I have no idea.
Well, she just looks awful. I mean,
well, she looks about 60, and it looks like they put clown makeup on her. I mean, whoever did her makeup and her wardrobe on that should be shot because she just looked like a
photo. Waxing, yeah. And it's just the teeth, though. It really is. Look, I mean, people get old and they get fat. What are you going to do?
But chipmunk cheeks?
No, yeah, that's the thing is her cheeks and her lips have been collagen. That's the other thing.
She's had
her lips inflated.
Yeah, and Fred Thompson all the way, baby. Fred Thompson.
There you go. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
We got a break. Back after this. It's 503-733-2970. Tim Riley brings you the noon hour. Blah. Made it through the whole hour, and I stumbled right there. Like 3 minutes to go in the hour, and I just ate crap right there. The noon news hour around the corner with Tim Riley from the Ministry of Truth. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.
Less than an hour. Aircraft from here will join others from around.
Participate in the American process of voting. I'm going to go to the church of my choice.
Absolutely.
The worst line there is when he goes, we're going to live on.
I was inspired to live on after that. I was about to hang it up.
If Bill Pullman says it, I'd do it.
I'd learn how to fly one of those aircraft.
You were about to cash it all in.
Yep.
But after being inspired by Bill Pullman, you're going to go out and you're going to go out and live and sing and dance and embrace life.
I would have rocked the boat.
Do people still rock the vote?
I don't know. I think they gave up. It didn't work last time for John Kerry, did it?
No, it did not. All right.
Well, I'm inspired.
Okay.
Our top story. Vancouver police have put out a dragnet. They want you to help in identifying the hanging basket thief. Yes, a woman was caught on tape stealing two hanging baskets from an elementary school. This happened at Lincoln Elementary. And it shows images of a woman stealing those two hanging baskets just before midnight. Children were weeping as they returned to school and found them missing.
We're,
maybe you can help.
We're basketless.
If you have any information about the hanging basket thief, call Vancouver's police department tip line.
Yes?
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Police are trying to solve a real basket case today.
One of those basket case files.
That's what I'm saying. No, see, that's... I don't think that works. I think that's one step too far there.
I need to listen to more Bill Pullman.
No, I'm just... We'll give that joke free of charge to KGWR Ed Al. You can all have that basket case.
All right. A driver frustrated with his broken transmission went in reverse through downtown Kalama before getting arrested for reckless driving. This is a real story, believe it or not. The chief of police said the driver, Bo Nugent...
Bo Nugent, really?
Bo Nugent.
Bo Nugent sounds like a fake name that you would get. Bo Nugent sounds like a fake name that a
Bo
retarded...
Nugent with another block party weekend.
Okay, I wasn't even going there.
Did I redeem myself?
No, it's Bill.
I was going to say Bill Pullman again. Oh, I can't stop. Bill Pullman was not arrested in Columbus.
All right,
going backwards.
We have to stop. Here's what I wasn't even going to go.
A terribly long week.
You know what it is? It's that holiday. I think we're all still mentally, it's more like Memorial Day. First of all, let me just tell you, all day yesterday, I thought it was Thursday.
I did too.
All day.
That's because you changed the Scotty Luncheon engagement to a day ahead of time.
Yes, that's exactly what we all had. We had a welcome to the program Scotty J lunch yesterday. Because we realized that we've gone to lunch like 9 times and never invited him.
And left him alone in the building.
Because we kept forgetting, no offense, Scotty, we kept forgetting he was here and part of the show. And so we kept having these station lunches. And we would just never invite Scotty. And so it would just be the three of us. And finally, Sarah pointed out, she's like, you know, we've never taken Scotty to any of our luncheons. So we would just finish the show and go to lunch, and Scotty would just be sitting here alone in a cave. And so we went. It was going to be on Wednesday. We moved it to Thursday. So, yeah, all day yesterday, I thought it was Thursday. Bo Nugent. I wasn't even going to go the bad DJ name route. That reminds me of that guy I worked with, that Don Halen guy. I was going to say that Bo Nugent sounds a lot like a fake name that a retarded hillbilly would give the cop when he's being pulled over and asked if that methamphetamine in the trunk is his. What's your name? Cletus Van Damme. You know, and it's a bit, you know, but if you don't come up with that, you come up with Bo Nugent.
But Bo Nugent was drunk and weaving through traffic backwards at 40 miles an hour through downtown Kalama.
At 40 miles an hour?
Well, he's killed. His car had developed a mechanical problem near a truck stop about 3 miles south of Kalama, so he decided to drive into town in reverse. So Bo Nugent uses a payphone downtown, because he doesn't have a cell phone.
Hello, this is Bo Nugent.
Gets back in his car and heads back to the truck stop, still in reverse.
How fast can you go in reverse?
40 miles an hour, Bo Nugent can. No, the legend of no. Bo Nugent.
I don't mean Bo Nugent. Clearly, he's a man to whom normal laws do not apply. Clearly, when you're Bo Nugent, you make your own law. I'm just saying, you and me, normal citizens, how fast could we go? Is there a limit to how fast does your car...
In reverse?
Let me ask you this, Tim Riley.
Yes.
Automotive genius. When you're going in reverse, is your car, is that in first gear? Or is it like second gear? Or
is it reverse gear? Okay, it has the big R next to it. Reverse. Backwards.
I do understand
that. That's not first gear. First gear would be forward. If you're going backwards, you're in reverse. I am the host of Saturday morning program about automotive issues. I can come here and... Well, never mind.
Okay. I guess what I'm saying is...
Mm-hmm.
Let me rephrase the question. I guess what I was saying is, speed-wise, when you are going in reverse, what do you suppose that is equivalent to gear-wise? I'm wondering what... In other words, if you're on a straightaway, a flat, straight stretch of road going in reverse, I wonder on the average car that driven by the average passenger car that an American drives, what the top speed in reverse it is. I wonder if Bo Nugent was going as fast as possible.
Bo Nugent might have the record.
He might. All right. Well, somebody will tell us. All right. Let's continue.
Well, it all started when he was by the old truck stop. And then he stops at a payphone. I don't know who he called. Maybe Flo at the diner to let her know what was happening.
Bo Nugent.
So Bo is now in Collins County Jail. His test revealed he had a 0.13 blood alcohol reading. The legal limit of Washington is 0.08, so he was up there. But he managed to drive in reverse, and you got to give him credit for that.
Sure, why not?
He didn't plow into anybody. A Tiger teen has been disqualified from the semifinals of the Skips National Spelling Bee in Washington, D.C.
In your face.
He spelled the word Husser incorrectly.
Husser, H-U-S-S-E-R.
No.
Oh.
H-U-S-S-E-R.
Yeah, see, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Shelley Clark won the 2007 Portland Tribune Comcast Regional Spelling Bee, spelling that word live on ESPN. Clark made it through the first three rounds of the competition, and after she left, 36 spellers remain. The winner gets $35,000 in cash and a $5,000 scholarship and a savings bond.
Now, is she the only person from this area? Is that why this is a story?
Yeah.
All right.
She failed. That's why it's a story.
Okay. There you go. Oh, by the way, somebody... Oh, is this a car call? I bet it'll be exciting. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, about first and a half.
What?
The gear ratio for reverse in a typical transmission is like 1.4 of whatever first gear is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about first and a half.
So what would you say the top speed in the average American passenger car is in reverse?
Oh, I don't know. I think my Suburban will go 30 miles an hour in first gear, so maybe 40 or 45 in reverse.
All right, so Bo Nugent did it as he topped it out. Right. He took it as far as it could go. He took it to the mountain and back again. Fantastic. Thank you, sir.
Hilarious.
Excellent. Thank you. All right. Apparently we're hilarious. All right, here's Jim Riley.
Well, a 53-year-old man is dead after falling 50 feet from a cliff in Estacada. This was the... he fell into the North Fork Reservoir in the Clackamas River. Michael Littlejohn of Gresham, oh, he wasn't an Estacada native, he was apparently visiting from Gresham.
Vacationing from Gresham.
He was negotiating treacherous and steep terrain when he apparently tumbled and fell, striking his head and landing face down into the water.
But, I mean, where? I mean, I was in Estacada,
the Clackamas River in Estacada.
So he was, this is just a confluence of all great things. He's from Gresham.
Yes.
In Estacada,
mm-hmm.
by the Clackamas River.
Yes.
That really is just a perfect storm of trash, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But he was on, like, the edge of a cliff or a mountain or something?
Yeah, he's on a steep cliff.
Wouldn't you know that nothing good happens to you when you go to Estacada? There's nothing. Nothing good happens in that town. It's just a lot of death. And, Dad, get out of my room. I mean, it's stay away from that place. That bad things happen to people who go there.
Well, the tax on beer could go up. Did you know cities and counties levy their own taxes on beer and use the money for public safety and public health programs? At least they're supposed to. Oregon's beer tax is among the nation's lowest, and moves for a statewide increase have been stalled in the legislature, so nobody wants to do that. The current beer tax is about 0.75 for a 12-ounce glass and hasn't been raised in 30 years. The glass or the tax?
This is a really interesting story.
Well, I thought you'd be enlightened. Apparently, I was wrong.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
First gear is the same as reverse.
So it's not first and a half like
No, it's. I don't think so. The ratio-wise, it's the same. The same pieces of hardware inside the transmission are in play in reverse as they are in manual one.
So in your opinion, what is the top reasonable speed somebody could get in reverse on a straightaway?
Well, reasonable. I wouldn't do more than 20 or 30 miles an hour.
But, I mean, if you were running from the cops.
Oh, well, then go for it. what do you got to lose?
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Excellent. I like your style. That's Bo Nugent style moxie is what that is. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, it's a can-do attitude.
I'm Bo Nugent, and I'm effing you tonight.
Well, I'll talk about this guy with extreme TB, with a big X running through it. An Atlanta man diagnosed with extreme TB is now in Colorado for treatment. He's a lawyer, by the way. Dr. Henry Bloomberg with Grady Hospital said the man was moved overnight from Atlanta's Grady Hospital for treatment at the National Jewish Research and Medical Center in Denver, Colorado.
A patient who's been hospitalized at Grady Memorial Hospital under a federal quarantine order because of XDR-TB was discharged early this morning at approximately 4:30 a.m.
XDR-TB. Is that like that Dorito chip? The XDR-5 or whatever that meat-flavored bag of Doritos we had last week? XDR-TB.
They've given him a number and taken away his name. Dr. Henry Bloomberg said the patient was provided private transportation and did not come in contact with the public during the transfer.
He was transported to Denver. It's our understanding this was not by commercial air. It was by private plane.
All right. Blah, 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 blah. TB or not TB? Tonight at 11.
Well, Elena Wiggins flew on the same plane as this 31-year-old Andrew Speaker, now we know his name. She was sitting next to him in the same row. She's gone for testing and is not concerned yet.
If, in fact, it does come back positive, then it's just the infection and it's not the disease, and the infection can be treated. And so I'm not that nervous about it. If it comes back positive, then I'll be taking medication for the next 6 months, and then I should be done with it.
Just like a common cold, she says.
I'm not worried about it because we caught it early enough to treat the infection so that it's not going to become the disease.
Shouldn't interrupt your cosmetology training at all. You get right back to work, little Missy. All right, fantastic.
Lindsay Lohan is undergoing a rigorous detoxification to wean her off multiple addictions of drugs and alcohol. Jared Sapero with Life and Style magazine, never heard of it, says movie directors are thinking twice about hiring the likes of Lindsay Lohan and her other hard-partying friends.
I think it's a problem with all these young starlets across the board. Nicole Richie, Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan, Misha Barton, they're all in trouble. And directors are like, do we really need to have these girls in our movie to make it successful?
Yes, you do. Well, but who was hiring these girls? Who was hiring Nicole Richie to be in their film before this? Really, what is the last? Forget Bill Pullman. What is the last movie that Nicole Richie did? Anyone?
Nicole Richie.
I don't think she's not an actress.
That's what I'm saying. It's a stupid soundbite. Nobody's hiring Nicole Richie for anything. It's a retarded soundbite.
Well, an email invitation from Nicole Richie for Memorial Day barbecue apparently listed that girls over 100 pounds would not be allowed in. RichieFan.com posted the email, claims the magazine Life and Style actually got a hold of it and then leaked it to the public. The email states things like, quote, "My fellow Americans, it is that time of the year to celebrate our country by drinking massive amounts of beer." It also said, "Let's take shots, pass out, and wake up with our pants ripped open at the seams." The party was held at the home of a friend of Richie's. The invitation also says, "There will be a scale at the front door. Start starving yourself now."
This doesn't sound like a real email. This, unless it's, I mean, I think the "let's wake open with our pants ripped open at the seams" part.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the, that tips the scales into unbelievability somehow. That doesn't necessarily sound like a thing you'd actively be soliciting.
Is this disinformation? Or is it the truth?
I don't know. Maybe it was misrouted from the Kennedy compound. liberals.
Well, the U.S. will propose a new initiative for reducing greenhouse gases at next week's G8 Economic Summit in Germany. In a speech to the president said, the world must adapt to the impact of climate change and embrace cleaner technologies and alternate energy sources.
The United States will work with other nations to establish a new framework on greenhouse gas emissions. So my proposal is this. By the end of next year, America and other nations will set a long-term global goal for reducing greenhouse gases.
The U.S. will continue to provide leadership in the world of global environmental issues.
The world is on the verge of great breakthroughs.
No one is.
That will help us become better stewards of the environment.
No.
And the United States is in the lead.
No, we're not. No, I'm afraid you've been
misinformed. That comes from the Nicole Richie email.
We're we'll have to wake up tomorrow with our pants ripped open and bleeding from many orifices. That's just lies.
Yeah.
Basically.
That's really...
Welcome to the new timeline.
And there's just...
There's just a whole lot of crap in that.
There was nothing but crap in that.
All right. Do we have more sound bites from George Bush on...
I figured that would be enough.
Being stewards of the earth.
Yeah. I just can't play these with a straight face. I'm sure there are people who take this kind of thing seriously, but it just isn't in this room.
Yes. No, I'm sure
there are people conducting very serious and thoughtful interviews on this topic right now.
I don't care who they are, though. I'm sure there's somebody out there. There's probably somebody we could find that with any... my joke isn't going to work because I don't have these ready. Oh, here's what I was going to say. There's probably somebody out there that will play these clips from George Bush with a straight look on...
What is patriotism?
No, I don't have it. I was going to go to this Lars Larson cut. Wait, let me see if I can find this.
But what is patriotism? Let's ask a professional patriot, shall we?
Psst.
Wake up!
My name is Lars Larson. I'm a radio talk show host, and...
Let's ask a
professional... Oh, why did you this play again? I missed it.
To awe the viewer into patriotism. But what is patriotism? Let's ask a professional patriot, shall we?
This is when he's looking at the ground. Psst.
Wake up!
My name is Lars Larson. I'm a radio talk show host, and I'm an American patriot. When you talk about patriotism, it's your level of dedication to the place where you live, the country you live in, the community you live in. That's what I consider patriotism, is your willingness to go out and do for your country and the level of attachment that you have to that country.
Well, there...
All right. Well, in any event, so there you go. I'll have to go back and... There was some gold stuff in there, but I don't... Really, just listening to multiple clips of Lars talking is too painful. Okay. We should take a break. It's 12:30 already.
Oh, my.
You had that look on his face like I was... Like, wait, are you shocked? Day is just zipping by with all the Bill Pullman and Lars Larson discussion. You know, if Bill Pullman had darker hair and ate a whole lot more, he would be Lars Larson. They kind of... There's a similarity there. All right. We'll do this. We'll be back. It's 503-733-2970. Tim Riley continues with the new news hour after this. Chock full of lies for your entertainment. We return with more stories of comedy next. Don't go anywhere. Emerson Radio Program live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. It is Thursday. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
So there's this new recording out that somebody got from somewhere of Paula Abdul having a meltdown on the phone to her publicist.
Fantastic.
Should we listen to it?
Yes.
Okay. Now, keep in mind, I haven't heard it yet. So
okay.
We're all hearing it.
Keep
for the
my
first
finger
time.
Right over the dump button.
Okay, here we go.
Hold on, let's pause this for a moment before we continue. Now, I'm having trouble understanding this audio. Do we have a transcript of this anywhere?
No.
I would, this seems like if this is a candid phone call, is she complaining about something?
To her publicist, yes.
It seems likely there might be words in this that are perhaps not suitable for family ears.
You know, you're right.
Yes. Yeah. Do you suppose? Yes. I think that maybe we ought to reassess whether to play this or not. I think we maybe ought to find a transcript of it somewhere before just deciding to play the entire thing in an unexpurgated fashion.
Well, I'll see what I can do.
Okay. See if you can dig that up.
I'll get back to you on that in a while.
All right.
Well, continuing now... The Harry Potter story will come to life as a series of attractions soon to open at Universal Orlando Resort.
Fantastic.
With construction expected to begin later this summer, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, cheered out all you moms in Georgia, it's going to open to Muggles in 2009 on the Islands of Adventure theme park. Universal Park and Resort Chairman Tom Williams says it'll be an immense experience that you won't want to miss. Oops, hang on. That you won't want to miss.
You know, it's three-dimensional. There's restaurants, there's shops, there's three different attractions. The environment is completely replicative of Hogsmeade Village. You'll be able to go to Hogwarts Castle. You'll be in the Forbidden Forest.
That is so badass.
That is so,
so cool.
Oh, my God. We have to plan now to, like, go on a trip. We should, like, have some listener thing and bring
a listener party.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm all over that.
I was reading it this morning. I was getting giddy.
You know, there's going to be a Honeydukes candy store.
There's going to be the bar.
The Weasleys, Wizard Weezes or whatever it is, the joke and novelty store that the Weasley brothers.
The wand shop.
Yeah, totally. The Diagon Alley. You know, there's going to be a
walk. I just flailed.
Nerds. No, I am all over that. Well, this actually, and this is not quite as cool as the idea I have, but this
pictures?
Is still pretty great. No, I haven't seen the pictures yet. Well, you know what I was saying? I was asking Laura the other day, I'm like, why hasn't somebody with like $1 billion as a money-making venture, where is this going to be, Tim?
Florida, Orlando.
So my question was why somebody didn't go actually and build a sort of mini Hogwarts on an island somewhere. Like actually go find an island and build a Hogwarts that you then go to via like a steamship or a train or something. But this is
like Ross Island.
Yes, exactly like Ross Island. I'll totally take this, though. This is where I will go and I will spend all my hard-earned nerd money at this place. There's no getting around that.
Well, the attraction is coming along, says the fellow who runs it. It's in really advanced stages of design, and it's going to open up in late 2009, and I could not be more excited.
That is so great. I'm there.
The author, J.K. Rowling, is also involved.
She has been involved from the very beginning. She's a great collaborator, and she will remain involved all the way through the opening. So we couldn't be happier.
You know, she'll be at the opening, too. You know she'll totally be there. She'll be there to christen it or wave a wand or cut a ribbon or whatever it is they do. So, excellent.
Fantastic. Good times.
Senator Hillary Clinton was in L.A. yesterday to formally accept the endorsement of their mayor. Clinton said that the mayor's endorsement will help her in California and the rest of the nation.
The mayor is viewed as a national leader as well as the mayor of this great city. And I'm looking to him for his guidance, his advice. I intend to call on him frequently for help in not only winning the California primary, but then when I have the nomination, actually winning the presidency.
Oh, boy, you know, you just got to love the here's the great thing about Hillary. You got to love the fact that she has absolute tunnel vision. She has one gear, which is forward, full speed ahead, do not stop. The only gear that Hillary Clinton possesses is overdrive. That's it. Isn't that, you can hear in her voice. I mean, I know that it's part of politics that it is perception is reality, and you act as if, and you say it, and therefore you believe it, and therefore you become it. But you get the idea that she just doesn't even see anybody. Not even in her peripheral vision, she doesn't even realize Obama's there. She doesn't realize that anybody else is there. She just speaks with absolute authority as though it is already hers. And you know what? That may be enough right there to do the job. She just doesn't even act as though there's any competition. God damn, I love Hillary Clinton.
Who doesn't? Yo-ho! Yo-ho! It's a pirate's life on the new CBS reality series, The Pirate Master. The series will feature 16 contestants, all claim that they've been pirates and were born 250 years ago. This sounds compelling, doesn't it? A Pirate Master host Cameron Dado said the winning contestant will need to be gifted.
One needs to be physically strong, mentally strong, a master manipulator, unafraid of consequences, unafraid to throw bombs and create trouble, as well as one must be able to get along with others.
I'm confused. I don't... First of all, what?
Yo-ho! Yo-ho!
No,
it's a pirate's life for the new CBS reality show, Pirate Master.
I don't understand. What is the concept of the show again?
Eight men and eight women will take to the high seas in a 179-foot boat, dressed in pirate costumes and eating authentic pirate food, while in search of hidden treasure worth a total of $1 million.
So it's like Survivor, but it's on a boat.
And they're pirates.
And they have to wield cutlasses and so forth.
Yes.
All right. And because there was something about... You said something about reincarnation early on that was sort of confusing me.
I didn't say reincarnation.
No, you said something about how they all believed that they were pirates 250 years ago. I swear to God you said that.
I heard that too.
I'm not hallucinating this. I'm not crazy. Don't look at me that way. You said something about how these people had been pirates in past lives.
Well, that was 5 minutes ago. I'm not going to remember something that far back.
All right. Well, whatever. And who's the host?
Cameron Dado.
All right.
What else do we have?
I honestly don't know the answer to that.
The American Civil Liberties Union is filing a lawsuit against a California company accusing them of assisting the CIA by secretly flying terrorist suspects to other countries to be tortured.
We're confident that the ACLU lawsuit will shed more light on Jefferson's illegal and immoral activities and hopefully motivate our city and county representatives to speak out as well.
She sounds exactly like the kind of woman that gets things done, by which I mean accomplishes nothing. She sounds exactly like one of those nitwit agitators downtown that accomplishes a whole lot of hooey and bupkis.
Yeah. The Phil Spector murder trial is back in session as we speak, but before the jury was even seated, the judge had some harsh words for the defense. Judge Larry Fidler told defense attorney Christopher Plourd that he was...
Plourd. Plourd sounds like some sort of a gigantic gelatinous creature that would menace you, like a fantasy novel. Doesn't Plourd sound like that thing that Rick Moranis was talking about in Ghostbusters? Many shrubs and zools knew what it was to be roasted in the stomach of a giant Plourd that day, I can tell you. Or whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Or Plourd sounds like Crabbe and Goyle, one of those guys that hangs around Draco Malfoy in the Harry Potter novels. You there, Plourd. Fetch my dragon.
Where was I? Well, Judge Larry Fidler told defense attorney Christopher Plourd that he was boring everyone to death.
The bottom line is, they're the triers of fact. If they're having problems following it, and when I say following it, I don't mean the content. I mean, it's just they're getting tired. They've expressed concern to the clerk who's expressed it to me, and I'm expressing it to you, that they're finding themselves tired. They may need more breaks.
Well, who cares if they're tired? When are juries allowed to complain that they're bored with something? Just shut your heads and earn your $5 a day. Somebody thought you weren't smart enough to get out of the jury process, idiots. Seriously, we're bored. Shut the hell up. Who cares if the jury's bored? All right, well, whatever. I want to know what Bo Nugent thinks about this. That really is what needs to be discovered. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley.
The new comedy, Knocked Up, is a must-see, says one film critic. Rolling Stone magazine Pete Travers gives the movie 3.5 stars out of 4. He says that in the sea of hot weather flicks, Knocked Up is a standout.
The more serious we got, and the funnier.
This does not sound like Peter Travers from Rolling Stone.
At the time, but it seemed, when in watching it, that it seems funny to watch people get that upset with each other.
I think this is the wrong soundbite. So it was interesting.
I was just going to say, who wants to take a guess as to who that really was and what she was talking about?
Oh, I recognize she's an actress.
Can you play it again? You can tell she's an actress because she sounds vapid. Do you have a...
Vapid actress.
The more serious we got, and the funnier it seemed, right? I mean, it doesn't seem funny at the time, but it seemed, in watching it, that it seems funny to watch people get that upset with each other.
She's the chick from 40-Year-Old Virgin, the one who's driving the car, who's all nuts and then throws up on him.
Is that true?
I don't know, but that sounds exactly like her. Am I right, Tim?
It stars Leslie Mann. So that might be her. Leslie Mann with 2 M's, by the way.
The best part, by the way, the best part is how this is identified at least 100 times as the news hour of the program.
I was right.
Wait, it is the news hour of the program on a news talk station, and yet all of our news, all we have at best is guesswork based by Sarah trying to identify a voice that we may or may not have
a
label
for. I was totally right.
Is it Leslie Mann?
It is Leslie Mann.
Say? Was she in that new movie, The TV Set? Because she sounded a lot like a woman who was in that, too.
Oh, she's blonde and thin.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Yeah, her. Okay.
Well, let's try to find the correct movie reviewer here. Peter Travers of the Rolling Stone giving Knocked Up 3 stars. Sorry, 3 stars.
A movie that's original in a summer where there is no originality. And you look at it, and if somebody told me, would you go with me again to see it, you know, I would. And I can't say that about most of the movies of the summer.
Well, he's made a lot of them. I mean, I'll always love Judd Apatow for making Freaks and Geeks, and then he went on to make 40-Year-Old Virgin. He's also produced a lot of, you know, even Anchorman. Yeah, and he's produced, even when he doesn't have hands-on roles in these movies, he's produced a lot of films that were really, really great. He's a funny guy, too, and I'm glad to see his career is working out because NBC treated him so shoddily. I'm glad to see his career is actually starting to come around a little bit. Good for him.
Peter Travers says Knocked Up is both funny and memorable.
When I think of Knocked Up, I can pull back a half a dozen moments that I just thought were hilarious or sweet or tender or surprising. And you go, how'd that happen? Where'd this guy come from? He's really, really good.
Yeah. By the way, just as, by way of a warning, I was talking about Gina Davis and her colossal immense teeth, which I saw as part of the Will Rogers PSA last night when I saw Waitress. Let me just know, what did he just say that the movie had? They were touching and charming and memorable and whatever. Let me point out that the movie Waitress
lots
has... Waitress has none of those things, by the way. Waitress has nothing that's charming, memorable, or interesting in any way.
Does it have prompt service?
No, it doesn't. Waitress, I'll give you this. Here's Waitress, which is the new Kerry Russell film, which I really wanted to like because it's the last work by Adrian Shelley, who was murdered last year. Kind of the very definition of just a senseless idiot crime, just some nitwit thug in her apartment killed her. So I really wanted the movie to be good. Boy, is it not good. Boy, is it not good in any way. You know what it's got? It's got a great opening credit sequence. I'll give it that. It's got a great opening credit sequence, and it has an interesting color scheme towards the last 5 or 6 minutes of the movie. That's about it.
You like the font and the graphics?
I did. I actually did. As dumb as that sounds, I really did enjoy the font. I enjoyed the font, I enjoyed the closing color scheme, and I enjoyed the first 45 seconds when they were putting the names on the screen with various pictures of pie in the background. I found that to be compelling. The rest
maybe
of
they ought to do a remake of Alice if they want to do a Waitress story.
Dude, you don't even know.
Is Vic Tayback still
there? No, Vic Tayback is... Let me just tell you this. First of all, I know a lot about Vic Tayback. Yeah. Vic Tayback, you know, he was in Cat in the Hot Tin Roof?
Yes.
Oh. Let me also say this. He is dead. Also, would you like to know this? Vic Tayback is currently the picture on my desktop wallpaper at home on my PC. I swear to Christ. You walk into my house right now, you go to my desktop PC in my office, Vic Tayback is actually the wallpaper. He's in the center of my computer screen right now. It's a picture of him in his Mel getup leaning against a stove inside the diner. Don't ask me why he's my desktop wallpaper. It just is. Also, my wife, when she was a young girl in Florida, stood in line for 6 hours to get Vic Tayback's autograph. So there you go.
And was she successful?
Yes, she was. And she treasured it for a long time, and then she lost it. And she still gets sad when she thinks about it sometimes.
Oh,
there you go. A lot of Vic Tayback fun facts for you. Let me just say this, though, about Vic Tayback and Alice. So I'm watching this movie Waitress last night, which, again, and a lot of people, not a lot of people, one person, Nate, my friend Nate Baker, saw it. He liked it a lot, and so I really wanted to like it because I respect his opinion, but on this, he and I are just going to have to differ because I found it to be a terrible film. And anyway, Kerry Russell can kind of act, though. Who knew that? Kerry Russell from Felicity? You know, I just sort of figured she was just a brainless hack. Boy, she can actually act, which is, it's unfortunate that she's in such a terrible movie. But there is a waitress there. The problem with Alice and that whole television show is that it is impossible to depict any Southern waitress now without just making her Flo what's-her-name. You know what I mean?
I don't think Flo had a last name.
She probably did, but it's probably like one of those Willie Gilligan things where you didn't know her entire name. Or that the captain's name was Jonas Grumby.
Whatever became of that actress?
I think she's still alive. The woman who played... Do you really care, or are you just asking to keep the news hour going? Are
no.
you just trying to maintain
forward...
Well, the
news hour continues whether or not you answer questions or not. But I am interested. What happened to the actress that played Flo? I think it's my grits lady.
Let's find out in real time. Shall we? Let's find out right now. Anyway, so there's a woman in this movie, Waitress, last night, and she is a blonde, southern, gum-snapping waitress at a downscale diner. I mean, it's impossible to have a character like that without having her be just a knockoff of Flo. I mean, that's the problem. The shadow, as dumb as this sounds, that type of character has been done on Alice. On Alice, they did that to the character as well as it could be done. And so there's no point in it ever trying to do it again. Let's see. Alice TV series. Based on what movie, Tim Riley?
I don't know.
Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore. Made by Martin Scorsese.
Oh, I didn't know that.
All right, here we go. Flo. Did you know that Flo left to get her own spin-off series called
Flo?
Yes. Called Flo. 1979 to 1980. Ran one season where she got her own restaurant in Houston. All right, here we go. What was Mel's full name?
I don't remember.
Mel Sharples. Fellow waitress, sassy, man-hungry, Florence Jean Flo Castleberry. There you go, Tim Riley.
All right.
Flo's entire name. Linda Lavin. Boy, you know, Linda Lavin, you look back at her now, a very plain woman. Doesn't really seem like it. She's another one who would just not make it as a television actress.
She was the Bill Tillman of diners.
It's true. The only thing I've seen Linda Lavin in since she left this program is she was on one episode of The Sopranos about 3 years ago, and that's it.
She wasn't really a sex kitten of any sort. She was a...
played by notable sex kitten Linda Lavin. Yeah. Television sex goddess Linda Lavin stars in. That's a phrase that no one has ever said before. No, that's like saying television sex kitten Bonnie Bartlett. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Another motion picture, an inspirational film entitled Gracie, is in select theaters this weekend. The movie focuses on a teenage girl who overcomes the death of her brother and fights the odds to play professional soccer. The star of this movie is Elizabeth Shue, and she says the movie should spark some important discussions.
It's just a wonderful, wonderful story to inspire girls and moms to talk about how things have changed, to give girls the empowerment that they deserve, the respect that they deserve as athletes today, but also to have them appreciate the fight that it took.
I'm tired of people being empowered. Do something or don't do it. Quit talking about how you're empowered to do it. Just do whatever it is you're flapping your gums about.
Right.
Also, what movie is this?
I forgot. Gracie.
At
first, I was hoping it was going to be about Gracie Allen.
You know, can I admit something right here? I wasn't even really listening to most of the setup you gave to that clip.
Or this entire hour.
No, that's not true. I've been listening with rapt attention to this hour. How else am I going to learn about Bo Nugent?
That's true.
It's just you started talking about Elizabeth Shue, and immediately I started thinking about how she is, hot as balls. Probably even now. When she's like 50. Mm-hmm. But, boy, Elizabeth Shue, you want to talk about a girl just unbelievably, scorchingly hot. I mean, Elizabeth Shue is... they don't make him any hotter than her. What I was just watching the other day? I was watching Woody Allen's Deconstructing Harry, which maybe... It's not my favorite Woody Allen film, but goddamn is it a great movie. It's right there with Crimes and Misdemeanors. I mean, it's really... And Manhattan and Annie Hall. I mean, Deconstructing Harry is genius. It's brilliant. One of the best movies he's ever made. And she is in that and just is so unbelievably gorgeous. Also, she's Adventures in Babysitting, I think, too. I think she did that. And she's in Leaving Las Vegas, which may be her hottest role because she played played that hooker. She had a certain slatternly lure in that film. Anyway, so this is not about Gracie Allen?
No.
Well, that's too bad. I don't really care about it, Tim.
A government decree that says only U.S. Marines can be the armed cops guarding the president during his visit to Albania next week is seen by Albanians as an insult to their people. The parliament approved the act today that allows more than 500 combat-ready U.S. troops to come into Albania. These troops will be armed, while Albania's Republican Guard won't be allowed... The Albania's Republican Guard will not be allowed to carry guns that day.
What are they protecting us from in Albania? And really, wouldn't you think that the greatest...
A bunch of shepherds stabbing sheep, trying to get them moving?
But do you think the greatest insult to Albanians is the fact that they were born there? That's really it. And you will be born in the United States. You will be born in Finland. You will be born in Albania. Go. I mean, that's really it. It doesn't get a whole lot lower than that.
Well, apparently all Albanians will be disarmed for one day only. The former prime minister and opposition politician says there is no reason for American forces to come and guarantee security. A headline of the top-selling Kariri newspaper says, "Please occupy us."
That sounds like...
It says Albanians are unworthy of being the masters of their own house.
That sounds like legitimate non-propaganda news.
It does.
Please come conquer us. Run our... Boy, a nation whose entire economy is just based on scratch-offs and Amway, too.
Yeah.
Good God almighty.
Square tires made out of old boulders. People getting being dragged home by the hair.
It's true. It really is true. That is a scientifically accurate statement. These are not opinions. This is fact, as offered by the CBS Radio News Department.
The president of Albania is going to demand we be fired.
Can I tell you that I only slept for about 3 hours last night?
Oh, why isn't that?
It doesn't matter. I only slept for about 3 hours, and I haven't had any food today. So, anyway. So everything is hilarious to me. Hopefully it's hilarious to at least some of the people listening, but that doesn't really matter. I find it all to be rib-tickling today.
It's much better than music right now.
It really is. It really is, Tim Riley. Truer words were never spoken.
Oh, well, there's a new catalog out that targets the obese. For sale, a lawn chair that supports up to 800 pounds and a toilet seat with a 1,200-pound capacity. I guess that's after a big meal. Two items among those featured in a new catalog of items specifically targeted to the growing population of obese people. The Living XL catalog is being launched this month by the parent company of Casual Male XL, the nation's largest chain of men's plus-size clothing and apparel stores. Casual Male Chief Executive David Levin says he believes the company has created something that doesn't exist. That doesn't make sense.
No, it does exist. I've been to the mall recently. It does exist. That's, how can you miss that problem? Mm-hmm. We don't believe this problem really exists. Really?
These big blobs and red spandex.
Have you left the house? And I've asked this before. This is the thing that I have pondered on the air before. That will not stop me from pondering it again right now. Mm. I always do wonder if sometimes those people who are just massive, if they ever are watching the news at night and they see their own buttocks waddle by on television as one of those, like, we show asses at the mall, pieces about how Americans, you know, the obesity problem. Because they never show the fat people at the fold, like, you never see the ass and the face in the same shot. They'll do, doctors warn that obesity is leading to a rise in diabetes and also heart disease. Yeah, American obesity is growing at a rate of, and then meanwhile, it's just a parade of big asses walking by the screen like in front of a Taco Time at Lloyd Center.
Well, that shouldn't be too hard to find.
No, it's not. And I always wonder if any of those people recognize their own asses as they walk by on the television screen while they're sitting there at home shoveling tater tots into their mouth.
Well, a 300-pound Obama woman says Living XL could make it easier for her to find products to give her that confidence she's been missing. Peggy Howell, who runs an online store. Peggy.
Oh.
You said Peggy. Who runs an online store with art depicting heavy people in a positive way, if that can be done, says specialty products are not always easy to find. A 27-year-old man described as the world's most prolific spammer has been arrested, and federal authorities said computer users across the web could notice a decrease in the amount of junk email. Robert Allen Soloway is accused of using networks of compromised zombie computers to send out millions upon millions of spam emails. He's the top spammer in the world, and he was arrested in Seattle. Apparently, he used computers infected with a malicious code to send out millions of junk emails since 2003. The computers he calls zombies because owners typically have no idea their machines have been infected.
I get that every now and again where it's like, it hadn't for a while, but one of those things where, too, you know, you will get an email from somebody that is from their name, and clearly it's not a thing. You know, like Todd the Corpse sending me something about, would you like to enlarge your penis? And I read it, and I go, wait, this probably isn't from him. Or is it? And then I have to read it, and then you're embarrassed. You have to email the person and go, I believe your computer has been compromised. I'm sorry.
My penis has already been enlarged. Thank you.
Moving on. Here's Tim Riley.
A voluntary recall is underway of Tween Brands children's metal jewelry that has been found to contain high levels of lead. The Consumer Product Safety Commission says the jewelry can lead to adverse health effects if teenagers swallow it. The products are manufactured in China, where all bad things come from, and includes necklaces, bracelets, earrings, and charms. Some of the items have High School Musical written on them or pictures of High School Musical actors printed on them.
But wait, what's wrong with the jewelry?
Teenagers could swallow them and die. The jewelry is sold at Limited 2 stores and Justice stores.
If you're a teenager and you're still swallowing, bright, shiny objects.
The latest trend. It used to be goldfish and cramming people into a phone booth, but there aren't any payphones anymore.
And it was,
are you supposed to be crammed into a cell phone?
Let's replace flagpole sitting as today's hot new activity among the youth. Mm-hmm. Let's get together and swallow some bright, shiny objects. All right. Was that like that thing that Scotty was talking about yesterday with the kids are all down with the cheese these days? Have you heard about the cheese?
No.
All right, let's...
Scotty J. This is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to blah, 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 blah. I really have to find... I have to find something else to replace that with. So welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. I'm Trepid PA, Scotty J. What is...
Good afternoon, everybody.
Don't... Just stop.
Hello, Scotty.
Hi, Tim.
What is this business that the kids are with the cheese that the kids are into these days?
Apparently, it's black tar heroin with
a cheesy flavor.
I'm thinking, I don't know exactly, but it's some kind of aspirin or Tylenol or Advil or something all chopped up and mixed in. No, it's some kind of...
You don't know.
I'm real.
Did you see this on an evening newscast?
Yes,
of course you did.
Wow.
Did it have some? Were they teasing it all night with it? Is there a dangerous new drug that your child might be having access to?
Or this is not the kind of cheese you think it would be, or something. Yeah. This is not the kind of cheese you find in a pizza shop.
So what, is this available at schools now? Is it out there? What is it?
Apparently so. Some kind of over-the-counter drug. Yeah.
I don't understand. If you're doing heroin, first of all,
sniff it, apparently.
So this is heroin that I don't understand. This is heroin that they mix together with aspirin? Or what is even the point of that?
See, I don't know the exact thing. I think
know that it's going to kill
how
your
can you
children.
Educate your children.
Yeah, seriously, how can you keep your kids away from drugs, Scotty, if you're not adequately prepared?
Stay away from moldy cheese.
Do you have discussions with your children about saying no to drugs?
Not yet.
Really?
I'm accepting candy from strangers.
Oh, that's absolutely acceptable.
How old is your oldest child?
Soon to be 13.
And you have not had the drug conversation? Is this a boy or a girl?
Girl.
Are you looking forward to having the drug conversation?
Not really. I think they're already pretty good kids, and they learned a lot of this in school.
That's always what they say in the first or second scene of that after school special. Not my kid. Not my little Johnny.
Well, we always make little comments here and there when we see people on TV that are drugged up or whatever.
That's
the extent of the conversation. Yeah, don't ever do drugs. You know, just obvious.
All right. So you don't really know
that
what
was
this...
inspiring.
More so than Bill Tillman.
I feel like living a clean lifestyle right now. So you don't really know what this new danger is that's going to kill children.
Well,
how somebody asked me what biodiesel was the other day, and I had to admit that I didn't know.
It's like $5, you know, according to the news source. $5.
Where can you buy it?
$5 for how much?
From your local guy.
if
perusing the schools. Your local Johnny Depp looking
guy. You can buy drugs at schools for $5?
Yeah, and that gives you two highs, apparently. That's how cheap it is.
You've been comparison shopping?
Yeah, $250.
Well, it sounds like they're practically giving. Scotty,
that's reasonable.
It sounds like at these prices, you can't afford not to buy.
Right.
It sounds like the more I buy, the more I save.
Well, that's true. And secondly, it's so cheap that you get so addicted to it that you'll be hooked.
Selling this very well.
I don't believe you're casting this in a light that they would prefer, Scotty.
And wrap that car with a telephone pole on prom night.
I'm saying stay away from the cheese.
All right, so Lisa says that cheese is black tar heroin and crushed Tylenol PM.
There,
tablet.
See, I was close.
And, okay, just hold on. It's what? It's heroin and Tylenol PM?
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't even make any sense, though. Like, why would you... Maybe heroin is... maybe I'm misunderstanding the point of heroin, but it seems like if you're doing a lot of heroin and you need to chase it with Tylenol, maybe it's not really heroin they've given you. You know what I mean?
Why don't you just take the Tylenol?
Seriously.
Why crush it up and put it in there?
It's supposed to be all chopped up into one big sniffy batch.
Kids have too much spare time on their hands.
Seriously.
And right after that, they open up the cupboard underneath the sink and sniff Lysol.
But from what Scotty has said, it's both easy to find and affordable.
I don't know how easy it is to find, but
there's... Well, it's only $5 for two highs, right?
There's sales reps out there canvassing the territory
sales
now.
Sales reps. They've got the cheese AEs are canvassing the city right now. All right. What is it going to take to get you to walk out of here with this cheese right now?
What if I give you four bags for
$9? What if I tell you... Now, look, my manager is not going to be happy, but it is the end of the month, and I've got to move this cheese. All right. Thank you, Scotty.
All right.
All right, there you go. We should take a break.
I learned nothing from that.
As opposed to the rest of the news hour.
So basically now he's just going to have a bunch of junkies perusing schools.
Seriously.
To get cheaper highs.
Thanks, Scotty. Susan Reynolds will be happy to hear this whole conversation.
Do you know who Scotty's number one friend is on my face?
I don't know.
Corn Dog.
It's a picture of a giant corn dog with eyes. How sad. Your number one friend on MySpace is a corn dog. Well done, Scotty. We'll be back.
I didn't think you could go cross to base.
number one friend on MySpace is a corn dog. I would encourage you all now to go to myspace.com/ScottyJRocks. If you don't believe me, look it up. All right, 503-733-2970. I'm sorry, why don't you ask that question in context? Give me, as they say in school, give it to me in a complete sentence.
Well, I have to squeeze by you, you know, when I go and get coffee.
Yeah.
I mean, you're kind of close to the counter, and then there's the chair, so there's really no real space for me to move through.
I thought we went ass to ass.
Well, we do go ass to ass, but I was wondering if you went ass to ass.
We really have to stop this. Here's what Sarah's talking about.
Ass to face? Oh, that's not even an option. Never mind.
What is wrong with us today?
I don't know.
It's not just me, and it's not just you, and it's you, me, and Tim. I think Scotty is actually the most grounded, normal person today. Here's what we're talking about. Sarah's asking in a movie theater, if you have to get up and excuse yourself to go to the bathroom, do you go by and do you give people the butt view or the crotch view? I mean, if you're sidling by someone to get out of the aisle, and don't you feel like a tool? And let me ask you this. Have you ever done this where you're in a movie theater and you have to do it twice in one movie?
Oh,
a long movie, you had a lot of coffee or something.
I have an obsessive compulsive thing about movie theaters where I have to sit on the end. I have to be on the end of the row.
Really?
Yeah.
I have to sit in the middle. I have to sit in the absolute middle.
Well, see, I feel trapped if I'm in the middle.
Yeah.
That way, if I do want to get up and use the bathroom, then I don't have to climb over people.
I read this article by Roger Ebert about 10 years ago where he described he had deduced, over the 20 years or whatever being a movie critic at that time, he had sort of had this quasi-scientific deductive method through which he determined the single best seat for sitting in a movie theater. And it involved sitting anyway, but it did involve sitting in the middle of the row. And so that's where I sit. And I can tell you this, if I have to get up and leave the aisle more than once, I go a separate way each time. I won't walk by the same people twice. Like, I won't sidle by the same people twice to get out because I just feel like a tool. Sometimes I will actually do this. I will actually, there's no one in front of me or behind me, I will actually step over a row and step down over the chairs in front of me so I don't have to walk by them. But, since you asked, if I have to either give them the ass view or the crotch view, ass. That's what I do.
Yeah, I usually go with ass, too.
And then you have to walk by me, though, to get to the coffee over here. I haven't even really noticed. I don't even really pay attention to it.
No, you're kind of oblivious.
Yeah, I don't even really pay attention. All right, 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up. I'm going to take a second here. I'm going to finish this cup of coffee. We're going to welcome Jim Roop to the Rick Emerson Radio Program in just a moment. We will do the glorious Bastard of the Week. Then we'll talk a little bit about the OMSI Body Worlds 3, which is coming up next week. And we'll talk about how you can score yourself a VIP pass today. When I say VIP, I'm just talking about the opening night tickets, although we're doing those too. I'm talking about, this is before it even opens to the public. This is actually Wednesday morning, accompanied by Sarah, Scotty and myself, with breakfast to follow. So hold on just one second. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Los Angeles. Radio correspondent James Roop. Hello, sir.
Woohoo! Howdy.
What's up, brother? How is life in Southern California?
Life is wonderful.
Listen, that contented sigh at the end. What is the temperature like there?
It's about 78 degrees, maybe.
78 degrees, balmy, maybe a cool wind coming in off the ocean?
We got a little bit of a breeze going, still the marine layer happening. It's going to warm up come the weekend, but for right now, it's pretty damned perfect.
Yeah, see, and here in Portland, the thing is, and even having lived in a desert growing up and lived in Salt Lake City, which is a desert, lived in Southern California, having lived in Portland now for about a decade has just made me all soft. And so it's 86 degrees here, and I'm just sweating like a pig, and I got the air conditioning cranked up at home, and I feel like I'm going to die. It just totally strips away all your immunity to the heat. You live in this place for like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, and you just have no idea how to deal with real heat.
Yeah, but you can drive in weather better than we can.
No, but see, that you would think so. That's the thing. You would think, living here, and by weather, I'm assuming you mean rain?
Yes.
No, see, you would think that here in Portland, people would be inculcated to it, or a word like that. That people would somehow be able to cope with the rain when it falls out of the sky, but that's not true. In fact, it's so not true. Here's the extent to which that is the least true thing on Earth, Jim Roop. We have a brand new radio station vehicle, which I think you may have seen when you were here for the listener party.
Yeah, it's a beautiful vehicle.
It is. It's great, and we wanted to do something that wasn't just like every other radio station. Vehicle that didn't just have a dumb logo on the side of it and whatever. So we put a whole series of phrases on each side as sort of little mini lectures to the drivers around us. And one of them is, it's just rain, learn how to deal with it. Because even people who have spent their entire lives here, as soon as there's precipitation falling out of the sky, they just have no idea how to cope, how to drive, how to do anything, and then they start driving like morons. So there really is just no advantage, weather-wise or traffic-wise, to growing up here. It doesn't make you any smarter or better able to navigate the road.
Well, I grew up in the Midwest, and so I've driven in all kinds of weather, including snow. So I think, anyway, that I drive very well in weather.
Well, you know, people from the Midwest actually do drive fairly well. That's the thing that I have learned. People from the Midwest drive pretty well. People from the West Coast tend to be either way too fast or way too slow. People from Idaho, don't even get me started on drivers from Idaho. People from Idaho, I think when they look at the speed limit, they look at the speed limit on like a base 4 numbering system or something. Because when it's like 65, and to them that somehow means 12. And so they will just drive at like 40 miles under the speed limit. I have no idea. I don't even know. There's something weird going on in Idaho. You know, there's something very strange about that entire state.
They have no place to go.
No, I guess that maybe is it.
They're just driving.
No place to go in Idaho, very few stoplights, and when you see somebody in an intersection, you already know who they are and where they're probably going to. So, you know, that's it. Hey, real quickly, before we talk about Phil Spector, I meant to ask you this yesterday, and then we got carried away with...
I don't remember.
I have no idea. We got carried away with something that seemed interesting at the time. So Hillary Clinton just picked up the endorsement of your mayor.
Yeah.
And color me a dumb white guy. How do you pronounce his name?
Villaraigosa.
I didn't know if the G was silent or not.
Or as he says, Villaraigosa.
Yeah, see, and I can't. I'm not even going to try with that. I can't rock that. So Hillary Clinton picked up the endorsement of your mayor. And, I mean, how much real weight does that carry in California?
None.
Okay, well, there you go.
I mean, you know, everybody knows the mayor of Los Angeles is an opportunist. He's not interested in being the mayor of Los Angeles. He's interested in future national politics.
Right.
So he's kind of, you know, biding his time. He's a ribbon cutter, and he's real good at that. I don't know who's running the damn city, but he's cutting ribbons.
So she is the horse he's betting on?
Yeah. Yeah, from his speech yesterday, it sounded like the only reason is because she has literally been there. She was the first lady.
Right.
She knows what it's like to be in the White House.
Right.
Okay, great. So you know how to vacuum the Oval Rug. You know, big freaking deal. You've never run anything out of there, have you? Other than the kitchen?
I just like the phrase vacuuming the Oval Rug because it sounds like something that has at least 3 alternate meanings, 2 of them not safe for broadcast.
Yeah. He's got the word oval in there.
Seriously, I'm entering the Oval Office right now. I can't come to the phone. All right, well, okay. So he's just there because he's banking on the fact that she might win or has a good chance to win, and therefore he wants to be on the inside.
Yeah, and you know, the nation is not ready for a female president. They just aren't. Not that one wouldn't work. But I don't think the nation is ready for one.
I was going to say that I do agree with you on both points. I do believe as I was talking to Lisa Goddard about this, and again, you need only look at Margaret Thatcher to realize that women can be just as tough and brutal as men, if not more so. I do think, though, somebody said this, I don't know who it was, it might have been Henry Kissinger who said this. He said that, you know, when you go into the voting booth and you pull the curtain, or, you know, however you vote now, you know, when you pull that curtain, that's when the real person comes out. And I think a lot of people who maybe are... wouldn't ever say out loud, well, I would never vote for a woman or a Jew or a black man or whoever. I think a lot of people who would never say that out loud, they get in there and they shut the curtain, and sometimes they start to be a little unnerved about that. I think Mitt Romney has that problem, too. A lot of people are going to get in there, they're going to pull the curtain shut, they're going to look down, and they're going to go, I don't know about a Mormon. So
did you hear that? Did you see that news clip the other, I guess it was yesterday?
Well, the guy that wouldn't shake his hand?
Yeah, I'm not going to vote for a Mormon.
And what's so great, though, is that the guy just sticks to his guns. We were saying that at least the guy had consistency and he didn't have any fake friendliness about it because the guy, I would never vote for a Mormon. And Mitt Romney says, well, okay, can I shake my hand? And the guy goes, no! And you can tell from the clip, I didn't see it, but he sounds like he's about 180 years old.
Yeah, I saw it. He looks about that, too.
Yeah.
Little old bald-headed guy with glasses sitting at a fast food table.
Yeah,
something.
Fantastic.
It was great.
I mean, come on, I love that guy.
But you know what pissed me off about Hillary yesterday is when Villaraigosa said, you know, make no mistake about it. Hillary Clinton has a plan to end the war.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Which I...
Sharon, how about sharing it? Are you going to wait? Are you going to wait and let more guys die just so you can become president? I'm sorry.
Well, especially when you get two things. A plan to end the war that she's now voted for, I think, at last count, three times. I'm the first to admit that it's a hard choice whether to fund the troops, even though you don't agree with it, or stick to your guns, so to speak, and refuse to fund it because you think that the war is wrong and you think that's the only way to get them home. I understand that it's a hard choice. But again, I mean, you know, being president is about making hard choices. She just buckled like a belt a couple weeks ago and voted to keep giving money to something that she said is immoral. It seems like if you think it's immoral, you don't give your money to it. You know what I mean? It's like, whatever.
Be the old guy against Romney.
Totally. And here's the other thing, and you just nailed it right here. When you said that Hillary Clinton has a plan to end the war, why doesn't she share it? It really uncomfortably harkens back to Nixon and Nixon's whole, because Nixon actually used the phrase a secret plan to end the war in Vietnam. That was Nixon. I have a secret plan to end the war. Oh, what kind of jackhole maneuver is that? The guy's coming home in body bags by the dozens every day, and you've got a secret plan that you're keeping hidden in your pants that we don't get to find out about. You've got it sealed in an envelope in your back pocket that we don't get to find out about until you're elected.
I'll bet you if Hillary were to share that plan, and if it were a good workable plan, and President Bush said, okay, let's do this, I guarantee you she'd be elected.
Yeah.
They would go, wow, she really did have that. Instead, we're going to wait. Someone's going to vote for her because she has a plan. If she gets elected, okay, what's the plan?
Right.
I left it in my other
plan. Yeah, seriously. And you know that the plan is just a bunch of crap. You know the plan? Her saying that she has a plan to solve the Iraq war is like when Joe McCarthy used to say that he had a list in his briefcase of 250 communists working inside the government. And really all that was in there was like a fifth of old granddad. You know? That's pretty much what...
Every plan to end the war is the same plan. It is.
Yeah.
It is get the Iraqis to run their own country, and we pull out slowly but surely.
Yes.
That's everybody's plan.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's the only way to do it.
And not only that, the plan also, there's also an asterisk next to that plan, because it's the same thing we do everywhere, which is we get the Iraqis to run their own government, we claim we're leaving, and then we just have a peacekeeping force there for time immemorial anyway. I mean, as I'm pointing out, people don't realize we're still in Korea.
Yeah.
I mean, we're still
in Germany.
Yeah.
We're still everywhere.
We never leave. We just go. Once we put, you know what it is? We're just like a house guest that comes to stay for just 2 weeks between, you know, because he's getting a divorce. And then you look up, and he's still living on your sofa 8 months later.
Well, we'll go in somewhere, we'll pee on it, and that's ours.
Yep.
That's our spot.
Nope.
We're going to make our mark, and we're going to stay right there, and no one can be here but us.
You are absolutely correct on that, sir. See?
I think I'll vote for you, because I know you have a plan.
If you vote for me, I'll vote for you, and we'll be set.
Very good.
All right. Hey, how crazy is Phil Spector today?
He's actually a little more animated today than I've seen him in a while. Instead of just having his hands folded and shaking, he's actually played with his ring. And he's made a few facial, he's furrowed his brow a few times.
Does he sit there and just vibrate in his chair a lot?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And once in a while, he will lean into his attorney once in a while. And I think he's drawing cartoon characters on a piece of paper. I'm not really sure.
That's what the Manson girls did. The Manson girls used to sit there in court, and they would just sit and they would draw pictures of Vincent Bugliosi.
Bugliosi has a new book out, by the way.
Yeah, it's like some 1,000-page book on it. What is it about?
It's about the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah, so...
He says Oswald did it. Leave him alone.
Well, you know, and Bugliosi, God love him. And that's one... That is a guy who just, as they say, won the pools. I mean, he can just leverage the rest of his life, and is, on being the Manson prosecutor.
Yep.
I will say... Vincent Bugliosi, what a wide-ranging conversation this is today. Vincent Bugliosi, who was the lead prosecutor for Charles Manson, he did write probably the single best book about the O.J. Simpson.
Yes, you're right.
He wrote a book called Outrage.
Yeah.
With probably the best assessment of the O.J. case that I have ever read. He didn't pull any punches either, man. He just leveled the prosecution. Just went after them with a club.
Well, in this new book, too, I think he tackles every possible theory that's been out there, and he dissects them all and destroys them all, other than the Oswald theory.
I mean, the thing that you can say about Bugliosi, he's a smart guy, and he's also nonpartisan in that. I remember in like 2001, he put out a book in which, again, he did the same thing, using precedent, case law, past examples, etc., showing why he felt the Supreme Court completely overstepped their bounds and really put their foot in it by effectively picking George W. Bush to be the president. And I mean, which I didn't expect, because he's a very conservative law and order type guy. But again, he just took like an axe to the Supreme Court. And so you can't really ever... pick where that guy lands on an issue, which is what makes him so compelling.
Oh, I agree.
He's a great guest, too. I see that guy in panel shows sometimes. He's right up there with Jerry Spence.
You can probably get him. I mean, he's on this book tour right now.
That's true. You'd
at least get him on the phone for sure.
Hey, Scotty J., pleased to be getting me Vincent Bugliosi.
It should be very easy right now.
Because he's got something to pimp. You're right.
Yeah.
And I mean...
And he'll do it.
And, you know, and I would love to talk to that guy. I really would. He's a fascinating figure. Just because that... And I did again, you know, and of course, he knows that the Manson thing is like his bread and butter, but I'd love to talk about any of these other books he's written, but I mean,
he'll talk about whatever you want. I've talked to him before.
Really? Is he a good interview?
Oh gosh, yeah.
Fantastic.
And he does it perfectly, too, because he knows when to stop and let you ask a follow-up.
Well, that's a guy who, again, he was savvy enough to see the spotlight, and he knew how to sort of fashion himself into a guy that worked well as a public figure.
Yeah.
So, excellent. Vincent Bugliosi. What a productive phone call this has been today.
Well, only you could direct it this way.
That's what I do.
It's
what I do, Jim Roop. All right, so let's see. So, Hillary endorsed by L.A. Mayor Phil Spector jittering uncontrollably in his seat. Fantastic. And that's the way it is today.
All right.
All right, thank you, sir.
You bet.
There you go. Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Yeah, Scotty, we could totally get Vincent Bugliosi. He's got such a pimp right now. It's like Sarah's all bent on getting Jim Steinman on the show. Did you say he has something he's pimping?
Yeah, he's working on that music. Well, he's doing like 10 different things. You know, he has like a band and he's working on Bad Outta Hell, the musical.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let me announce the glorious bastard of the week here. Or can I? No, I don't have the text. I don't have it with me. I have to do it after the break. I thought I had it. I don't. That's me. It's all me. Real quickly, before we break, let me just do this then.
Are we ever going to play this arachnophobia thing?
We can do that here in just a second. Let me just announce this real quickly because we don't have a promo running. I haven't had a promo cut for this. I got to do that today. So here's the thing. Starting, there's a couple ways to do this. A, we are going to be giving away tickets to see Body Worlds 3 at OMSI. There's going to be a total of 15 people. Now, some of that's going to be show people. It's going to be myself. Really, that wasn't me.
I don't know if it was intentional or not. It's intentional.
Was that just because?
I don't understand.
Was I supposed to be pondering something? No. Okay. Anywho, so on opening day, which is the 7th, at 6 p.m., we're going to be doing a tour, an opening night tour of Body Worlds 3. And again, they've already sold like 10,000 tickets to this. It's going to be the biggest thing they've ever had. We're going to do a 15-person tour. Now, some of those people are going to be, it's going to be like me and a couple people from the show, but we're doing six pair passes. That is 12 people will be in the group, and then three people from the show. We are going to be doing a tour of OMSI on opening night. Now, here's the thing. To win this, you have to be registered as an AM970 Glorious Bastard. You go to 970.am right now. And again, to be real clear, we don't sell your email address. We don't give it to spammers. We don't give it to other people or whatever. It's just so you can stay in touch with the station, stay in the loop about what's going on, and win some cool crap. So go to 970.am. That's one of the big things. So we're going to be giving away six pair of passes for an accompanied tour on opening night to Body Worlds 3. The other thing is, we're going to be giving away, starting next week, the Glorious Bastard of the Week will score a pair of passes to Body Worlds 3 as well. Plus, and this is what we'll talk about later on in the show, we're going to be giving away the B-Tim for a Day and a Half package, which includes a trip to the VIP, the real inside tour of Body Worlds 3, which is a press tour only. It's a press tour on Wednesday morning, including breakfast, accompanying Sarah, Scotty, and myself, and then your shot to maybe fill in for a little while for Tim Riley's news next Friday. So we'll talk about that later on in the program. We got a break here. We'll come back. Tim Riley ahead with the news, phone calls, more of, we'll do the Glorious Bastard of the Week. We've got the top five coming up. Top five songs you're more than likely going to hear coming out of a Volkswagen Bug as it drives by. Tom Likas at 3, Donna Mike at 7. It all continues next. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. Still to come, top five songs you'll likely hear coming out of the Volkswagen Bug. We'll talk to Cross Country Nate for a few as well. Don't forget, he'll be joining us in the studio tomorrow, as well as our friends the Young Immortals, who'll be doing a little musical performance tomorrow. Like is at 3, Donna Mike at 7. We'll go to the newsroom with Tim Riley here in just a moment. Without further ado, it's that time once again. Let me make sure I've got this queued up.
Greetings.
No, it's not. No, for the love of God. God, just completely. Shut up. No one would notice these things if you didn't draw attention to them, if you didn't point them out. It's that time once again. Thank you. There you go. That's better. Greetings and salutations, Christine Johnson. You are being addressed at this moment because you, yes, you, Christine Johnson, have been selected as the AM970 Glorious Bastard of the Week, with all the rights and privileges that entails. In addition to the envy of your fellow man, you'll receive a bountiful cornucopia of swag from the AM970 pile of crap, including a pair of exciting Champ Car tickets, as well as the wonderful knowledge that, for at least this one week, you are just a little bit better than everyone else. Enjoy your newly elevated status, and don't hesitate to lord it over the less fortunate. After all, that's what the less fortunate are there for. Thank you for listening, Christine Johnson, for you are the AM970 Glorious Bastard of the Week.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Something fishy is going on here. Turns out the father-in-law of Atlanta man, treated for extreme tuberculosis, is a Center for Disease Control scientist. And you know what he does? He studies tuberculosis elimination. Now this scientist, Dr. Robert Cooksley, says he would never knowingly put his daughter, friends, or anyone else at risk with such a disease.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that.
Mm-hmm. The mad scientist, perhaps he didn't screw on the lid of a jar tight enough.
Well, that's okay, but that's what I was thinking. Because, okay, let me understand this. So now, this guy who's got supercalifragilistic extreme tuberculosis.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one shade away from a Stephanie Miller joke. Anyway, this guy who's got the super tuberculosis. So
he's the son-in-law.
He's married to the daughter of this
Dr.
guy
Robert
who works
Cooksey.
On. Okay. So my assumption was, the daughter comes and brings him a bagel at lunch. He gives her a big thank you goodbye hug. Doesn't realize, oh hey, I've got tuberculosis all over me.
Mm-hmm.
She goes home, and then the husband breathes in a bunch of tuberculosis, and then right?
Mm-hmm. Or perhaps it's a family plot.
Maybe
they weren't happy about this marriage.
That's what I'm saying. We are not, of course, implying that. That would be wrong. We are simply punditizing for satirical and entertainment purposes only. But so. Did the guy preemptively make a statement to the effect of, I would never knowingly give somebody in my family tuberculosis?
He said he would never knowingly put his daughter, friends, or anyone else at risk for such a disease.
Now, see, why would you even preemptively make that statement?
He remains, first and foremost, concerned about the health and well-being of his son-in-law and family, as well as the passengers on the affected flights.
Probably from his lawyer. Here's the thing. You know the key word in his statement?
Knowingly.
That's well done, Tim. That's exactly right. That's exactly what it is. That is called that's a little bit of covering of one's ass is what that is. That's a whole lot of...
Well, maybe, the son-in-law was over there watching the big game and he thought he was opening up a jar of Planters peanuts.
It was a giant jar of tuberculosis. Why don't you
right
wash...
next to it in the refrigerator.
Wash down those pepperoni sticks with a giant jar of TB.
All right. Fantastic.
Pretty spooky, isn't it? It really is. You know what it also reminds me of? I've never seen the movie, but I read the book, The Stand. It reminds me a lot of how sad in American culture, by the way, that I have to phrase it that way. I never saw the terrible film, but I did read that, what's it called, that book, The Stand, where that guy just leaves the laboratory and he gives the waitress like a $1 tip, and the $1 tip has the Captain Trips virus all over it, and that's what kills everybody. So that's kind of what totally reminds me of that. It's freaky.
Well, I know you're going to be excited to learn that one of the major events of the Rose Festival is taking place across the street beginning tomorrow.
Across the street from who?
From us.
Oh, Christ, what?
This is going on at the University Place Hotel on Lincoln Avenue, which is right across the street.
Is that what used to be the Doubletree?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They used to have good food there. Now they won't let us eat there anymore.
I don't know why. Well, we found a new place anyway. Well, you don't have to eat.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, The long-awaited Festival of Quilts is being held at the University Place Hotel tomorrow from 10 to 6.
Festival of Quilts.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could quilt you.
And don't miss the Rose Festival Dirt Cup. Which is going on.
The funny thing is, I don't even know if you're making that up.
No, it's serious.
You're,
it's a real thing.
There's no dirt cup.
There is a dirt cup.
Mm-hmm.
So come on, come all, and try your luck at winning the dirt cup.
Please do, here's the thing. What? I hate to just be asking that a lot today, but I don't understand. What do you mean it's a dirt cup?
That's what it says, the Rose Festival Dirt Cup.
Do you see how
all they have to do is go into our kitchen? It we'll find plenty of things to enter there.
What is the? Does it give any explanation?
It does not. No, you have to show up and find out what it is.
Well, Scotty, what time does the Dirt Cup happen?
Oh, Friday the 8th. Scotty's going to be doing news that day. Oh, he's a newsman that day.
That is entirely true. That is okay.
Maybe so, he can dig a little bit deeper.
We can send him to the Dirt Cup.
Care just a little bit more.
Oh, we've got that brand new Eterol sound recorder for his man on the street bit, and it is right across the street. Man across the street. What time is the Dirt Cup taking place?
Oh, 6:30 p.m.
Well, that's fine. He's not going anywhere. Right. We'll make him stay.
Yeah.
We'll just make him go across the street. Yeah, that's the thing. So next Wednesday, we're going to give one lucky listener the chance to accompany Sarah, Scotty, and myself to the press VIP tour of OMSI Body World 3 next Wednesday. We'll do some auditions for that in the next hour where you get a chance to give. So here's what you want to be doing, by the way, to prep for that. You want to find yourself 30 seconds worth of news. It should be real. Doesn't have to be serious, but 30 seconds worth of news.
It's not hard to come by.
No, there's a whole internet's full of it. So just find yourself 30 seconds worth of news. What we'll do is next hour, we'll do, I don't know, however many, until we get bored with it. We'll do probably a bank or so of calls. People auditioning, you just got to read a 30-second newscast. And this is not a Tim impersonation. You are doing this as yourself. 30 seconds worth of news. Eventually, I don't know, probably by Tuesday maybe or Monday, we'll pick the person who is the best. They'll go with us on Wednesday to the press tour Body Worlds 3. And then if you don't completely suck, and if you can clear it, you'll come in on Friday and do a couple stories in the new news hour. So it's all about how good and or bad you are.
Mm.
So the Dirt Cup is at 6:30 tomorrow? No, next Friday.
Next Friday.
Okay, I'm going to make a note to myself. Dirt Cup.
Why not make a note of it?
Why not take a loved one? Okay.
Well, this isn't part of the Rose Festival, but that dead whale has been buried. A 40-foot-long whale that washed ashore at Seal Beach south of Newport has been buried. State Park crews used a bulldozer to push the dead whale about 200 yards up the beach, then buried it. Experts say it takes about a year for a whale to decompose. Meanwhile, they couldn't figure out what killed it. It's unclear what contributed to her death. Samples of the whale were taken by people after they were told not to.
Samples of the whale. Yeah. What do you even do with a whale sample?
I don't know.
I mean, there's just nothing. Maybe, I can't.
Gift idea.
Kids love it. It's whale. All right.
Here's Tim Riley. Rehab be damned. It looks like Lindsay Lohan is going ahead with plans to celebrate her 21st birthday Vegas style. Her lawyer, Mike Heller, says the newest celebrity resident of Promises will still have her birthday bash at Pure January, make that July 2nd, as previously planned. The party is a contractual obligation with Caesars Palace Club, and Heller says, Lindsay says she's going to party in Vegas no matter what. Just because you're sober doesn't mean you can't go out and have a good time. They also shut down claims that Sweeta Vodka pulled out of sponsoring the event, saying it will no longer sign on to do the party.
Now, is she covered in vomit in that photo? I didn't look at them long enough to tell. Lycus did a whole hour on those Lindsay Lohan photos where she slumped in the car after...
I don't have the vomit photo in front of me, but it shouldn't be hard to come by.
He says that there's a lot of... He says if you look in there, there's
I don't
vomit.
See Lindsay Lohan vomit.
I can't... Well, I don't want to look at it either. Is there the one photo, though, where she's hunched over vomiting?
I rather look at a dead whale.
I don't know if she's vomiting, but she's hunched over.
Well, he was basically... That was
basically collecting Lindsay Lohan vomit.
That was... Well, you do. Do you, like, you don't think that's possible? I remember at the height of Britney Mania, there was a guy selling a piece of toast that she'd taken a bite out of, and he was selling it for like $6,000 on eBay.
Hmm.
So I remember there was a guy... Remember they used to sell Beatle bathwater?
Mm-hmm.
In the 60s, they used to sell bathwater from the Beatles. And I don't even think that was real. But Likers did a whole thing yesterday about... Because she's hunched over vomiting, and it was all thinking of, like, would you still do Lindsay Lohan? An astonishing number of guys still would, by the way. I am not among them. All right. So, anyway, there you go.
I'm still looking for vomit, but can't find
it. It's okay. It's perfectly all right. We don't really need that.
I'll look later, see if I can find some.
Yes. I need to worry about that.
Lynette Survey is in trouble with her priest for playing with more than her organ. That's what it says here. This is from a Wire Copy story. I said Lynette Survey, who's 50, is in trouble with her priest for playing with more than her organ. Survey has been killed as he can, rather.
That seems a little drastic.
Well, you know, the Catholic Church
seriously
can.
It's part of the new catechism.
As the organist and choir director for selling sexy toys on the side, Survey said her priest had told her the sale of adult accessories is inconsistent with church teachings.
The organist.
She is the organist of St. Joseph Catholic Parish near Green Bay. She has been for 35 years. She sees nothing wrong with selling these adult aids. She got involved with a company called Pure Romance after a brain tumor and treatment left her sexually dysfunctional. She said the toys help women with similar brain problems.
Tumor?
I barely knew her.
She sells spa products and adult toys at home parties hosted by women.
I want to get a business card that says I'm a professional organist.
She's one of the 15,000 consultants employed by Pure Romance.
Okay.
She doesn't want to give up the sales job, and this story's going on way too long.
Really,
I think we get this.
It was all in the headline.
It really
like,
was.
It was like an onion story. Mm-hmm. You read the headline, and then the first three words or so of the first three sentences of the actual article, and then you move on. Well, let's do one more, and then we'll do the top five so we can have that crossed off our list of things today.
Well, that sounds like fun. How about a penis watch?
How about a penis watch? Here's
take
your penis watch for Thursday.
Take a look at my enormous penis. And my troubles start a melting away.
Bow, bow, bow.
I take a look at my enormous penis.
Does she play the upright organ?
And everything is going my way.
Bow, bow, bow.
Serbian men are swapping their prize cows to get bigger penises. The bizarre exchange was revealed by the company's top plastic surgeon, Chirico Dijabank, who said dozens of farmers obsessed with the size of their penis were trading in their prize cows for larger members. The size of a man's member seems to play a big role in our society, and the price of the operation, among $800, is almost exactly what a good cow is worth. So, farmers are choosing to swap a cow if it means a bigger penis. How can they blame them? A urologist who is based in the central town of... I'm not even going to try to pronounce it.
Imagine a Ukrainian urologist.
Mm-hmm.
Just some guy sitting there in an alley with a fish scaler.
Well, the only problem is some farmers are unrealistic about how much they should get for their money. Some of them want to add 10 centimeters, and that just isn't possible. At least not just with one cow. That's it.
There's nowhere to go with that.
Take a look at my enormous penis, and my troubles start to melt.
This is a five-cow penis you've got here.
I take a look at my enormous penis, and everything is going my way.
Sometimes, and this is a Mormon joke, sometimes I refer to Lara as being a five-cow wife. That's funny if you're a Mormon. If you're a Mormon, you wonder. There's a whole thing. Doesn't matter. It's like that's like a half a percent joke. Really? Okay. Well, let me just do this one, and then we'll do the top five here. Let's see. What am I doing here? Hi, Rick Emerson Show. How can I help you?
Did you hear about the lady in the choir who found another prisoner attractive, so she grabbed him by the organ?
No. Is there a punchline, or is that the joke?
That is the joke.
Do it one more time.
Did you hear about the lady in the choir who found another parishioner attractive, so she grabbed him by the organ?
No.
All right, then.
When did this happen? Give us the circumstances of the encounter.
Well, see, this is part of this.
No.
When a man and a woman find each other attractive.
Thank you. Thanks so much. What? No, I'm sorry.
That's a two-cow joke.
All right, best audience ever. Here's your top five.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire!
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting's the best thing to do. Counting is...
Scotty, can you please come to the studio?
Thank you. I love to count, don't you?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, now on whatever the hell Tuesday, Scotty was tasked with assembling the top five songs you would hear coming out of a Primer Gray Camaro. he failed at that, so we did a better version of that was yesterday. We've given him some, but we get another chance, a shot at redeeming himself. These are the top five songs you're likely going to hear coming out of a Volkswagen Bug. So he's here for editorial comment and reply. Take it away, Tim Riley.
An honorable mention, it's the Brothers Johnson with Strawberry Letter number 23.
I'm not. And this is an original Volkswagen Bug, not a refurbished. I don't believe I know this song.
You don't know this one?
No.
I don't think I do either.
Definitely a...
By the way, FYI, it might buffer a little bit.
Are you playing?
It wasn't loading very well.
Oh, I see.
I believe they start singing any moment.
This?
I'm pretty sure you don't hear this coming out of... This is a Volkswagen van, maybe.
Okay.
Or maybe that, like, a soundproof van down...
Maybe the shag carpet on the inside.
I was going to say...
A redone Bug with shag carpet.
Soundproof van filled with duct tape, maybe. Inside.
So you don't know who the Brothers Johnson is.
All right.
That's these guys.
No, tell me about the Brothers Johnson.
Who are they these?
I know about this, and there's one other song. I forgot the name of it, too. That's how important it is.
What is this song about?
I used to know.
Uh-huh.
So I'm really helpful on this.
Yeah.
It's like some weird, sounds like a drug trip to me, actually.
Sounds like they're on the cheese.
That's why it belongs on the Bug radio.
When is this song from?
Probably 67, 70s.
Jim Riley, from whence does this song derive? What year would you say this song is from?
Mid to late 70s?
Now, did you used to introduce this song and go, all right, next we got the Brothers Johnson?
I think so.
I don't think I've ever heard this song before. I feel a little out of the loop on this. I don't believe that you would hear this coming out of a Volkswagen Bug. It's just, it's too funky.
You would if you saw a Bug that had, you know, those stick-on flowers.
The stick-on flowers, is it groovy?
Yeah.
Far out. All right.
Number five, Bob Dylan, Like a Rolling Stone.
All right, I can see this, I suppose.
I can see the song playing.
Yeah, I can hear that.
Probably in a convertible Bug around, you know, 101 in California, overlooking the cliff.
No, I can see some Volkswagen driving hippie listening to this song. I know it makes me a bad person, but I don't. No, listen to me. Hear me out.
I want to hear a bad person.
Hear me out.
How bad are you?
Hear me out. I say this knowing I will incur the wrath of Sarah. Don't squint at me. You don't even know what I'm going to say, Lucy Van Pelt. You just stop it. Here's the thing. I'm not saying it's a bad song. You know I respect Bob Dylan as a lyricist and as an artist. He's an American poet. So I've been forcibly told my whole life. Here's the thing. I don't understand. Listen to me now. Speaking about this song and this song only, I don't understand what makes this song specifically so great.
It's an interesting story, I think, because he's talking about this girl who was on top of the world, who had everything, and then now she screwed it all up by messing herself. Kind of like a Lindsay Lohan kind of thing.
Is this part of my failing for not paying more attention to lyrics?
You should completely listen to the lyrics. The story is really interesting, because it's talking about her chucking change at the bums, and now she's, you know, at the end, she's basically doing anything she can to get drugs and do whatever.
Is that so? It's about a girl who had it all and then kind of threw it away?
Mm-hmm. Nobody ever taught you how to live out on the streets, and now you're going to have to get used to it.
Is this about the summer of love?
It has some great lines, like this one right here.
I love that line about you staring at the vacuum of his eyes, blah, blah, blah. Do you want to make a deal?
That's right now.
Maybe it is just my failing, I think, as a listener, that I put too much emphasis. Well, not too much. For a song like this, I put too much emphasis on melody and production and not enough on lyrics. I think that's why Bob Dylan bounces off me sometimes, because I just... I think I just don't pay enough attention to words for him to impress me the way that he does other people. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I just have never gotten it. In that Beach Boys book, Brian Wilson actually, the Brian Wilson book that Peter Carlin wrote, he actually has a whole page about this song, though, where he writes about this song and how it's just like some cultural wrecking ball of a song, and I just wish I could appreciate it. I feel like I'm missing out. I wish I was kind of smart enough to get this. I feel like I'm not. All right, these are the top five songs you're going to hear coming out of a Volkswagen Bug.
And number four, The Grateful Dead, and estimated profit.
For the love of God. I mean, I can't.
You couldn't have picked another song.
I mean, they're all the same. I mean, like, who can tell Grateful Dead songs?
You know what? I really love American Beauty.
American Beauty's a great album. I'll take that text.
That's the only album there's I love, but yeah.
And what's the one before that? Is it Working Man's Dead? Their first two albums. It was American Beauty, and I think Working Man's Dead was the one before that. When they were like a country, they were almost like an alt-country band for a while, like almost an Americana band, and then they just became crap. After American Beauty, and you're right about that, American Beauty has some beautiful songs. After that, they just became... everybody knows my
band. I always like that Touch of Grey song, but maybe it's overplayed or whatever.
Touch of Grey's okay
good.
Because it's essentially a pop song. It doesn't sound... Touch of Grey, you know why Touch of Grey is good? Because it doesn't sound anything like The Grateful Dead. Touch of Grey is fine because it doesn't sound like anything in the rest of their catalog. But you're totally right. If you wanted to talk about what comes out of a Volkswagen. Or the Apple campus.
Number three, Cat Stevens with
thank
the
you.
Peace Train.
Thanks so much just for leaping in. I appreciate that. I love Cat Stevens.
Now, obviously, this is going to come out of a Bug.
I think he changed his name, didn't he?
Or in a Starbucks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What did he change his name to?
Abdul.
Happy
He's too busy issuing death proclamations to clarify his name.
Father and Son is one of the beautiful
actually,
songs.
Actually, I heard he was trying to get back
the
in.
Wind. The Wind is a beautiful song, and Morning is Broken.
He's enjoying his vacation home in Canada.
I don't know enough about this, but he renounced citizenship or something and moved somewhere far away, far, far away. But he's trying to get back now and have a concert.
He just named a fatwa.
He probably ran out of money is the deal.
I heard that he's on a no-fly list. Somebody told me that.
Exactly,
actually.
He was.
He's going to have to take the peace train now.
Zing! Well done, Tim Riley.
He deserves one.
Yeah, really, I can't play the Z while I'm playing this, but the Z is implied. You know, here's a weird thing. My sister took me to a hippie church when I was growing up because she was a godless hippie, and they sang "Morning Has Broken" as a hymn, the Cat Stevens song, which is pretty cool actually. When she didn't shave her legs and she smelled like macrame hemp all the time. Boy, he's just a beautiful singer. It's too bad that he just sort of
up and vanished.
Well, it's not even. He didn't up and vanish. He's still around. He just doesn't make his music anybody cares about anymore. That's too bad.
He pulled an Eddie and the Cruisers.
Yes, that's exactly what he did.
And he hates America.
What? Cat Stevens, why do you hate freedom?
Well, he wants to do, you know, a Muslim Abbey Road, but there's no place to do it.
What would a Muslim Abbey Road even be called? I feel like I was a more cosmopolitan person out of a joke there. Madrasa days. No, that's not funny. All right, here's the top five songs coming out of a Volkswagen Bug.
Number two, The Iron Butterfly and I Get It, Evita.
I have the CD. I can tell you this. I'm probably the only person within 10 square miles who can sing songs on the flip side of this album.
Ty Lewis can sing this one, too.
I can sing. I mean, there's this song. You know, this song takes up an entire side of the record. And then the other side has Flowers and Beads.
Flowers and beads are one thing, but having a girl, that's something.
Terrible song.
Does it want flowers and beads or a girl?
I don't know. This is a great song, though. You can't take it. This is a great song. This album, I think it's just called the Inagata De Vida album. This was the first album to go platinum, ever. There you go. Now you're a little smarter than you were before.
So the total of two songs?
No. The flip side has four songs.
Okay.
This is one side, and then there's four songs on the flip side. This was the first album, though, to be awarded platinum status. I believe they had to create the platinum award just for this record. Because it was the first album to sell a million copies. Have you ever heard Slayer's version of this?
No.
It's hilarious. It's like 2 minutes long. You know where the title of this came from, don't you, Scotty?
I don't. I can.
Scotty J, I even know that. You're like twice my age.
I don't know. Let's take a guess.
Listen, let's hear you schooled by a youth. Sarah, where did the title for this song come from?
I don't know the full. I don't know any of their names or anything, but wasn't one of the guys in the band trying to say in the Garden of Eden?
Yeah, and he was
too
high.
Messed up that he couldn't say it.
He's on the drugs. He's on the cheese.
They had cheese back then.
And then this song has, I think, like a 9-minute drum solo. Something that, I mean, and the weird thing is, I used to love this song growing up, and without even being high. I mean, just like stone cold sober, I love this song. I don't know what was wrong with me.
You probably liked it, John.
It just got a monster riff. Well, you know how great this riff is? That. Here's how great that riff is. On the new Nas album, he actually recycles that. On Hip Hop Is Dead. On Hip Hop Is Dead, the lead single actually recycles this riff. I mean, it's still, after like 38 years, it's still great. Yeah, I could listen to this all day, but let's not. Counting down the top five songs you're going to hear coming out of a Volkswagen Bug.
Number one, Janis Joplin, taking up a little piece of my heart.
Take my ears as well, would you please?
Guaranteed number one song you'd hear.
I bet she practices some core personal hygiene.
You know, here's the...
I'm sorry, you peaked with achy, breaky legs yesterday.
Scotty steps on my jokes.
Okay, let's hear it again.
No, it's stupid. I was thinking about...
It's always better the second time, right?
Thinking about phrasing another way, like, can you take another piece of my ears? But then I just said, take my ears as well, and then Scotty stepped on it.
We all heard it, Rick.
It's not as funny as achy, breaky legs. You're right. Yeah. Oh, I hate this song.
But she's full of soul.
She's not. Are you being sarcastic?
Yeah. I'm not a huge Janis Joplin fan.
I think at all.
She smells terrible.
She does. Look at her.
I don't feel either way about her.
No. You look at Janis Joplin, it's chicks like that that stink.
Of course she does.
Not now. Okay, that's funny. No. I mean, you look at her on the cover of the Pearl album. Or on the cover of Janis Joplin's Greatest Hits.
Doesn't she have, like, little nub brown teeth?
Yes. I don't think you had melopathy, did they?
No, she just, you looked at her and you could just tell that she just reeked like day old.
Potpourri.
Well, I wasn't going to say that.
A whale that washed up on the beach.
Yes, that.
Day old whale.
And then Jim Morrison, who could have had any woman alive and probably did, pick Janis Joplin for a good period of time. You're Jim Morrison, you're a sex god. Why would you picture some.
Some girls have charisma.
Stinking, filth ridden hippie soaked in southern comfort. I suppose. I just.
I guess her teeth were a little in brown.
The thing about Janis Joplin that bugs me is that she's always lauded as being this great blues singer. The same way that Stevie Ray Vaughan is always lauded as being a great blues guitarist. And it is a total. The bar is set so low for them because they're white. That's the thing. I mean, it's like Stevie Ray Vaughan. You know what? There are a million black guitarists out there that did what Stevie Ray Vaughan did and did it equally, did it as well as or better than Stevie Ray Vaughan, who never got any attention paid to them because they weren't white. Stevie Ray Vaughan is a white man who comes along and does what black guys have been doing for 50 years, and suddenly he was a genius. Same thing with Janis Joplin. She's not that great of a singer. She just sort of screams and wails, and you can hear those nodules forming on her vocal cords as she sings. That's the thing about it. As a guy who uses his voice for a living, it hurts to hear her sing because she misuses her larynx so badly. It's not like she's the worst singer in the history of the world, but it's just because she's white, they were so desperate to find a white female blues singer that they just gave her the crown to the first stinky woman that came along, and here she is.
Yeah, when I hear her voice,
I don't mean to be bitter.
A very large woman choking on a sub sandwich.
That was Mama Cat.
Thinking of the wrong group.
They all kind of fit in together.
I will say this about Janis Joplin, that without her, we would have had Tom Kiefer from Cinderella. Also, she wrote and sang Mercedes Benz, which is a legitimately charming song. Mercedes Benz is a pretty great song. Wait, hold on. Do we have the worst scream coming up? You gotta hear this throat tearing scream she does here. And it was because of this that Faith Hill had one more god awful single to unleash on the world later. Here we go. Everybody clutch your throat.
Oh,
music is some chick in a tavern somewhere that just finished off three packs of smokes in one evening and had nothing but
seriously.
Yeah, be nice. We're gonna have her on the show.
All right. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show continues with Tim Riley. We'll talk more about Body Worlds 3, Like Us at 3, Don and Mike at 7. Don't go anywhere. Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. Hey, you know, the glory bastard... He's leaving sentences out. That glorious bastard of the week tickets we give away is a pair of tickets and it's paddock passes as well. I don't really know what those are, but apparently they're exciting. So there you go. Starting next week, though... Starting next week, Glorious Bastard of the Week will win a pair of passes to OMSI Body Worlds 3. Also, you got to be a Glorious Bastard to be eligible to win the opening night accompanied tour that we're going to be doing. It's going to be six pair of passes, and then along with me and a few people from the show. And when I say a few people from the show, I don't mean that to sound like a scam. Like when they say, you'll party with members of Melrose Place, and then it's like third guy from the left who you've never met. It really is just a function of whether Sarah and Scotty have the stomach to go a second time. I'm not saying it's a disgusting exhibit. I've never seen it. But who knows? You hear that, like, people pass
out.
Yeah,
I kind of have a weak stomach when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah, so next Wednesday, there's a VIP, like a press tour, that's going to be Scotty, Sarah, myself, and one lucky winner. If Sarah and Scotty want to go the next day, then it'll be six pairs of passes, 12 people, plus the three of us. If not, it'll be like me and whoever else from the show. You know, we'll find some other folks, some other non-Scotty and Sarah folks to go. But the point is, you cannot win if you're not a glorious bastard. So go to 970.am, 970.am. So here's what you got to get done. So it is 2:16. We can't put this off any longer, as Jimmy Rabbit would say. Here's what we got to get done. We're going to take these calls. We'll talk to Cross Country Nate, who's also going to join us in the studio tomorrow, because tomorrow's his last day at work, and then he's heading out on the road Saturday. So tomorrow...
He's actually quitting tomorrow, isn't he?
Tomorrow, yes. He's the boss knows, but yeah, tomorrow he's, like, doing his paperwork or whatever. They're giving him the sack or whatever. So tomorrow is his last day, and then he's leaving on Saturday, going across the country with his girlfriend and their kid. And so we'll be talking to him in the studio tomorrow, along with the Young Immortals, who will be in studio doing a little performance for us. Those guys are great. But today, we'll talk a little bit to Cross Country Nate. We'll have Tim at the bottom of the hour from the Ministry of Truth. And then following that, and it may or may not work today, it just depends on whether people prepare stuff. Following Tim's news, which I would guess would be around, it's 2:16 now, I would guess around 2:40 or so. Around 2:40, we will throw open the phone lines to people who want to give a crack at doing a 30-second newscast. And again, you don't have to. You don't call up and do it as an impersonation of Tim. Don't call up and try to sound like that. That is a road to nowhere. You just do it as yourself, however you would normally do it. You just call up and you read a 30-second news story. It should be a real story. It can be silly. It can be weird. It can be wacky. It can be whatever. But don't make it a fake story. A real 30-second newscast. And the deal is, we'll do that for a few days. At the end of that, we're going to pick whoever's the best, and you will get to be Tim Riley for a day, which means basically you will get to accompany us to the press tour next Wednesday morning at OMSI Body Worlds 3, which is only going to be a handful of people. It's not open to the public even at that point. So that's going to be in about 20 minutes. So we'll do that, today, tomorrow, and probably Monday. So be looking for a 30-second or so newscast that you can read in your bid to become Tim Riley for a day. We'll do that later on.
It'll
be cool just to be able to be there without, because it's going to play, that exhibit's going to be packed. I mean, they just sold thousands of tickets
for it. People are
going
to bring their screaming children, probably.
Totally. I mean, not that it's not going to be cool anyway, but it would be great to be able to go next Wednesday, when it's just the media people anyway. So, Scotty, can you obtain Cross Country Nate for us? I'll take this call. We'll read a couple of these emails, and then we'll get Nate,
on
the
other
side.
Are we ever
going
to play the arachnophobia thing?
Let's
you made me not look at it all day.
Okay, let me take this one call, then we'll play the arachnophobia thing, then Nate. Because, we can't go too long without talking about Bill Pullman. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
I saw something kind of funny on MSN that you might like.
Okay.
They're talking about the most dangerous jobs that you can have, fatality-wise.
Yeah.
And obviously the whole, it's like the show on Discovery about fishery and all that stuff.
Most dangerous catch, yeah.
But number two is loggers.
Really, Oregon? I thought number two was... Well, no, that does make sense. I guess I must have heard that somewhere.
They say that it's rated at, for every 100,000 workers, 93 people die a year.
That's pretty high. That is really high. I don't know what it is for Alaskan fishing boats, but I know, like they said, I expected it to be a lot higher for cops, and like cops are actually pretty low on the list.
Yeah, they actually say that farmers are twice as likely to die, are more likely to die on the job as police officers, and four times as likely as firefighters.
Yeah, well, because cops and firefighters, not that it's not a dangerous job, but also you go into every situation expecting it. You're armed, you have equipment, you have Kevlar, you have guns, you have whatever. Yeah, and when you're a tractor driver, you know, you don't expect, like, you don't, no one expects to be, just like no one expects a Spanish Inquisition, nobody expects to fall into a threshing machine.
Yeah, boy, you're not expecting to fall off the seat and land inside the combine.
No, let me tell you this, actually, a guy I knew, I won't say he was a friend of mine, but a guy I knew anyway, he was when I worked in Washington, he was a guy, a listener that came to a lot of our events, and he was, it's really nothing funny about the story, but it is exactly the kind of death story that we talk about on the show. I think he was a diabetic. He'd been eating really badly, and he'd been drinking, and I think he was on an empty stomach, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, he's working in a lumber mill, and he's doing what's called pulling green chain, and what that means is, as the fresh logs come in, basically, when they're still basically in tree form, you wrap a chain around them as they're coming through the room, and you guide them into what is essentially a gigantic wood chipper. And so the logs are basically coming in raw, just right out of the forest. You throw a chain around them, and then you steer them in. You guide the log into the wood chipper.
And if you steer it wrong, the log pushes you in front of it?
It wasn't so much that, although that can happen too. What happened to this guy, though, is he just, he got woozy and fell into a diabetic coma and just fell directly into this thing, and the thing that he was guiding the log into, its sole purpose is to turn trees into sawdust in about 15 seconds, and he fell into it. He's not made out of oak, so I think it was just a whole lot of smuckers at the other end there. So do you watch that show, That Most Dangerous Catch?
Yeah, I do. It's an awesome show.
That show, did you watch the one the other night when there was a storm hitting and those guys were like having to belt themselves or whatever?
I didn't see that one, but I did see one where the camera guy was up in the captain's booth and a rogue wave came in and smashed open the windows inside and knocked the guy over.
I mean, that is just... I mean, I have some friends of mine who put themselves through college and did whatever, tried to start businesses by being Alaskan fishing guys, and they made it through okay, but it's like they would have a story every year. You know, there was some guy that they worked with, and you know, one day something goes wrong and just comes home, you know, comes home missing an arm or something.
Well, what's really interesting about the story is they also have the average salary for these people.
Which is what?
Well, so like it says, for fishers and related fishing workers, even though 120 die out of every 100,000 people, they only make $29,000 a year.
Well, see, and I thought it was a lot more than that. Maybe is it just that the work year is a lot shorter, though? Is that the thing with the Alaskan fishing guys that, like...
If you work all three seasons, or I think there are for at least the crabbers, I think you're only working something like 6 weeks out of the whole year.
Right.
But you realize that show, they're on the biggest boats in the fleet. You know, there's plenty of little boats that are putting in 20,000 crabs, and that's it. So.
The whole thing just freaks me out. All right, excellent. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And there you go. That's Ryan. Rick, there needs to be somebody in your audience named Gloria Bastard. That is true. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend Cross Country Nate. Hello, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, brother man? You know, I have a little theme song that I was going to play for you here. Scotty has a theme song that some guy sent in, but I think I'm going to ignore that.
Okay.
No. I have my own theme song. I don't think we're going to have time to play it today. I have made an executive decision that your theme song is Biggest Ball of Twine in Minnesota by Weird Al Yankovic.
Just so you know. I love Weird Al.
That's what I'm saying. And it is, in my opinion, the definitive Weird Al song. So, all right, so when we last left, and I don't want to... I think at this point, I do believe we are reaching the point, especially because you leave town the day after tomorrow. Tomorrow's your last day at work. When we last left you, you were... Hold on. And I apologize for not getting the Google map posted.
But that's okay.
When we last left you, you were at St. Joseph Psychiatric Museum in Desmond, Missouri.
Yes.
So I think what we'll do is, I think we'll do one more stop after that, and I think, I have no idea, and by the way, the phone number is 503-733-2970, I have no idea how long it's going to take you to get from, you know, Maryhill, Boise, Great Falls, Silvergate, Cody, Devil's Tower, Mount Rushmore, Yellowstone, Deadwood, Desmet, where the psychiatric museum is. I don't have any idea how long that total trip is going to take. So I do believe, though, that it is sufficiently long. That it's going to take you enough time to get from here to there that by the time you are there, we'll have the rest of it planned out for you. So I think at this point, it's like watching a video on YouTube. I think that by the time you get to that place, we will have buffered enough that we'll have the rest of your trip sort of planned out for you. So the question we have today for Nate, and then tomorrow we'll talk to you briefly in the studio when you come in, and then we'll kind of track you as you go on the road. So the question we have is, where does Nate go after St. Joseph's Psychiatric Museum in Dismet, Missouri?
And again, I think wasn't that in Glore, and then the Dismet was the Little House on the Prairie place.
No, that's right? True. But I believe that Glore is right next to Dismet. Although I have to kind of figure that out. Hold on, let me see. Somebody has sent me the map. Let me look at the map right here. This is our good friend Dave. Let's see here. So I'm looking at the Google map for your trip right now, sir. Give me just one second, Nate. Just coming up here.
Hey, you want to know something cool?
Yes, I do.
My buddy just called Alex at Vito, and he's stocking us up for the trip.
God bless you, and God bless him. Thank you. See, they're good people there.
They're all right. Awesome.
So here we go. So I'm looking at the map here, and so, let's see. Okay. All the way down. Okay, Dismet. Okay, yeah, here we go. So Dismet, South Dakota, where there's the Laura Ingalls Wilder crap, followed by St. Joseph, Missouri, where there is a terrible psychiatric museum. All right. And I believe then Deadwood, South Dakota is right in there too, although I don't have the exact order. So the question is where to go after Dismet, South Dakota. I think that is the final stop.
Is it Minnesota after South Dakota, I think?
Or Missouri, rather. I don't know. It's all very confusing. I think it's Wyoming, then South Dakota, then St. Joseph, Missouri.
Okay.
Because Dismet is in South Dakota. So, yes. So you're going from Wyoming to Deadwood to Dismet to St. Joseph, Missouri, I believe, if this map is accurate.
Yep.
It's all very confusing. All right. Oh, let's go. Hello. Hi. Rick Emerson Show. Fantastic. Thanks. Thanks so much. Scotty has let me know, by the way, that he's... This is what Scotty just typed on the screen. Scotty just typed on the screen, back in a while. So I don't really know what that means. He just says, phones are currently unmanned. Fantastic. Okay. Well, so let me take a second to look through this. So we've got... Let's see if this map is in order. And I will post this today. I swear to God, I will post this today. The map of your trip. So it is Maryhill, where there's the Minister Stonehenge. Then Craters of the Moon, then the Testicle Festival, then the Great Falls Sip and Dip, Silvergate, Montana, Cody, Wyoming, Yellowstone, Yellowstone, Pinedale, where there is gopher racing, Devil's Tower, Mount Rushmore, the Reptile Garden in Rapid City, followed by Deadwood, where there is Wild Bill crap, followed by Dismet, where there is the Laura Ingalls Wilder Museum, followed by St. Joseph, Missouri, where there is a creepy psychiatric museum. And by the way, let me just tell you this. We spent a little bit of time on the net last night looking at the psychiatric museum.
Oh.
It's messed up. It is not right. I mean, it's things that don't belong in this world. It is creepy. It will haunt your dreams.
Luckily, will it damage our child?
No. Luckily, your kid's not old enough to understand mental illness, and so he won't be freaked out. Your kids are liable to just think that it's some weird, cool-looking stuff, because he doesn't understand that it was made by the crazy.
Well, he'll probably try to eat all the stuff that guy ate, right?
I would keep your child away from that exhibit if I could. All right, let's get a couple of these. Hello, Rick Emerson Show.
Hi, Rick.
Hi.
It's Terry. How
Hi.
Are you?
What's up, Terry?
Hey, listen, I have a suggestion for Nate there.
Yes.
If he jumps up into Illinois, it's not too far from Wisconsin. There's a little town up there. It's called Springfield.
Yeah.
I believe it's Springfield. And the Abe Lincoln's original cabin is there. And there's a whole
cool.
Yeah, there's a whole park there. There's a whole thing about Abe Lincoln and It's really neat. It is really neat, and it's a beautiful park. And I think there's even camping there.
And this is where? This is in what state?
I believe it's in Illinois. I believe it's Springfield.
I have no idea where Illinois is. Illinois doesn't appear to. Are you sure Illinois is a state? I don't see it on the map.
Illinois is a state.
I'm not seeing it on the map.
It's just above Missouri.
Hold on.
Chicago, Illinois, Rick.
You know, Chicago.
I'm just screwing with you. I'm saying I don't
know. You are not. You look genuinely confused.
Okay, well, you come here and show me where it is on the map.
I know where it is.
All right, well, hold on a second. We've got to make sure that Illinois is, in fact, still a state. Who knows? I mean, it's
right there.
Well, it's not labeled. See? There is no place on this map that says Illinois. All the states are labeled. There is no state labeled Illinois. In your face.
Well, it's there anyhow. It's there.
Oh, I see. Oh.
Right there.
Oh, I see. It's covered by a big blue thing on the map. Sorry about that. Okay. No, you're right. That is right there. Okay. Fantastic.
Yes, it's Abe Lincoln's log cabin.
Excellent. And it's in Illinois.
Yep. It's all in right. Springfield, I believe.
All right. And then you are actually in the vicinity of Wisconsin now, so that's good.
Yes.
And once you hit Wisconsin, we can probably then start your trip back.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
right. Fantastic.
Up okay. around and back.
All right, excellent. Thank you, Terry.
You're welcome.
All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
What's up?
Hey, if he's going to be toward Wisconsin anyway, you know, Budweiser's got the big plant there, and you can have free beer, and I believe there's a bunch of other ones up there.
That's true. This city you're going to in Wisconsin, how close is it to, let's say, Madison?
I think that's the closest big city.
Or Milwaukee, any place like that, because, you know, they have those brewery tours there.
Yeah, okay.
So you go to Madison, Milwaukee, any of those places will have brewery tours, lots to see there. And
yeah, Madison's a really cool-looking city, too.
And it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of a college town, too, so you and the girlfriend could probably get out, you know, and have some fun or whatever. So,
yeah, definitely.
And, too, if he misses Gresham, he could always go to Green Bay because it's about the same size.
Thank you. Well done. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
All right, do two more here, and then we'll break. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, real quick, I was going to call about Grand Teton. Well, he's over in... You need to go to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, too. Do you remember that movie, the second one, to Any Which Way You Can, where Clint Eastwood had that fight at the end of the movie?
Any Which Way But Loose.
Yeah, that's actually Jackson Hole, Wyoming. It's right by Montana. But when he's at Rushmore, he needs to see Crazy Horse, that big-ass statue that they've been working on for like 30 years now.
I'll go back and I'll make these perhaps supplemental stops, depending on how much time
but
we
then,
have there.
And then when... He also needs to go to Carlsbad Caverns in New Mexico.
All right. Carlsbad. Yeah. We can hit that on the way back probably then.
That is absolutely, it's 5 miles of underground caverns.
All right.
Stalactites and stalagmites. It's phenomenal.
I think I've heard a lot about my girlfriend, my wife went there, and it's that is a thing that people who go there, and it's like one of those things that you can't describe that you really got to see and you got to appreciate. You got to see it to really appreciate it. All right. Thank you. All right, there you go. We'll do one more here, and then we'll take a break. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Hey, Nate, I got a suggestion for you, man.
All right.
Just inside Wisconsin from Minnesota, you're going to find along the highway there a place called the Cheese Chalet, and you can't miss it because it's got like a gigantic blue fiberglass cow out in front.
That's what I'm talking about, the Cheese Chalet.
All right. Yeah, priceless, man. inside, they've got like this 24-year-old block of cheese under glass, and it's like all moldy and stuff. It's really, truly awesome.
So this is actually really great because this St. Joseph's, Missouri, you'll have to go right through Illinois, so you can hit the Lincoln thing in Illinois, and then obviously hit Chicago if you want to. You can see Daly Plaza, you can see, like Al Capone crap there. And then that takes you right into Wisconsin. And then you're basically your Wisconsin destination.
Well, and just so you know, Wisconsin is littered by gigantic fiberglass animals and, like, roadside attractions and
genius
stuff. So give him plenty of stickers to hit those things with and get pictures.
Excellent. So here's what I've written down. So here's what we've added. So you're at the St. Joseph, Missouri Psychiatric Museum. Then you go up through Illinois, you hit Chicago, you hit the Lincoln thing, and then you're in Wisconsin. Cool.
Yes.
And I'd say that's a good start. I'd say right there, that's a great start, and we'll figure out your trip back as you're on the road.
Yep, we'll be there next week, and then it's Portland, Maine after that.
Fantastic. Excellent. All right, so I'm going to let you go for now, and we will see you tomorrow in the studio, sir.
Awesome. Talk to you later.
Thank you, my friend. There you go. That's Nate. You know, he's taking his life in his hands with this, but
God that is a him. Lot of places.
It really is. But you know what? I got to tell you, if he pulls off even 70% of what we laid out, this is really going to be the best cross-country trip ever.
Sorry, my arm hurts.
Okay. Looked like you were expecting your armpit for a lump of putty.
No, I went and played video games the other day, and now it takes a couple days for them to get sore.
What video games are you playing?
I was playing a shooting game.
Tell me. Come on.
I don't remember what it was called.
Oh, that's a lie.
Where
were you playing it at?
Gun Control.
Was it Lethal Enforcers?
It was the one all the way in the corner.
Was it the one where you...
Where you don't have to shoot off the side to reload. It was really nice.
Oh, really? Oh, that's just sissy. You gotta have... It's gotta be a reloading game. So it wasn't Lethal Enforcers, which is, I believe, the ultimate arcade shooting game.
No, I think it was some kind of, like, Area 51 thing. Because there were, like, aliens and zombies in one thing. And then on the other side, you could do, like, practice targets and stuff.
All right. We should take a break here. Come back. Tim Riley coming up in just a few... If we have time... we'll let some folks audition for their chance to be Tim Riley for a day. At stake, a pair of tickets to see OMSI Body Worlds 3 in the press tour. Scotty, we need to clear out the phones now if we can. If you can do that. We're going to need to clear out the phones. If you are interested in auditioning for your chance to be Tim Riley for a day, you need a 30-second news story to read, and you call this number right now. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Don't go anywhere. Back after this. You stay there. Hello. It's the Rick Emerson radio program.
Somebody loves corn dogs.
I'm reading the Wikipedia entry on the recreational drug known as cheese, which is, yes indeed, heroin mixed with Tylenol PM. How disconcerting that Sarah's friends immediately texted her with that information. It doesn't explain...
Yeah, how did Lisa know that so quickly? I'm not prepared.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A London performance of Lord of the Rings musical ended abruptly with actors dressed as hobbits, elves, and dwarves rushed to help a screaming cast member whose leg became trapped in the set machinery. Due to an accident that occurred during last night's performance of Lord of the Rings, resulting in Adam Salker playing an angel injuring his leg, the creative team today is looking to modify the staging. Salker shouted, "My leg! My leg!" as he was put in a waiting ambulance.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to.
Yes, you do mean to.
What were they doing, Lord of the Rings?
Yes.
When they were shouting and in character.
I'm not going to do it, because it would just sound like my Renfair talk.
That's true.
Why, this is the biggest thing to hit Portland since the Rose Festival. Oregon's first IKEA store is set to open this summer. It's under construction just off of I-205 near the airport. And they're going to hire and train 400 locals. They want them to join the IKEA co-worker family.
You almost said Al-Qaeda, didn't you?
I know. Can you imagine that?
Come join the Al-Qaeda family.
This is
we're looking for hard workers.
This is a 280-square-foot store. It's part of a mixed-use development of office, hotel, and retail buildings. It is nothing like sleeping in a hotel right next to an airport. So the IKEA store is opening soon. Looking to recruit new members of the IKEA family.
The IKEA.
All right, that's enough for one day. Well, we'll see a little bit later.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the show just doesn't end.
Greatest newsman in the history of the world. He'll be back in a little over an hour.
And the second greatest is in training, Scotty J.
Oh, that's a good
world
segue.
Premiere. Very soon.
We're
working up the kinks and the bugs.
Yeah, have fun with that. That's a fantastic segue. All right, here's the deal. So, Tim will not be going to Body Worlds 3 next Wednesday. He finds the whole thing a little unsettling and disconcerting. So... this is your chance to accompany Scotty J, Sarah Dillon, and myself to the press tour of Body Worlds 3 next Wednesday. That's before it's even open to the public. It's just going to be the press and you and food, I believe. And then here's the thing. Tim is also gone next Friday. It's a week from tomorrow. He won't be here. So if you're not flat out terrible, there is a chance that you might actually come in and be able to do some stories during the noon news hour as the AM 970 fill-in news person for the day. And then Scotty J is going to be doing the afternoon news next Friday, so it'll be fun to listen to. Tim will be back today, 4, 5, 6, and 7, but next Friday that'll be Scotty J. All right, Scotty, have we talked to these people? Should I just take them just in no particular order?
I got this great button on my phone that just takes them in random order almost. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to go through these calls. I think we'll do this one bank. We probably won't do beyond that. But, okay, and then, so here's the thing. And when I take your calls, I'll have you do the news, and then put you back on hold. So when you're done doing the news, go back on hold so Scotty can get your information. Here's what's going to happen. As we do this, Sarah and I will write down the name of the person doing the news, and then we will not give it out of the air, but Sarah and I will then rate you 1 to 10. We won't ever give that out. But then at the end of this all, we'll have to, at the end of it all, we'll figure out who we go with.
Okay.
So, all right. So, this first up, Sarah, is Pat. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. Pat, hello, Pat.
Hi, can you hear me well?
Yes, I can, sir. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm dandy, Pat. All right, are you ready to give, you know, we're not going to hold you to the 30 seconds on the nose, but being a part of a journalist is to be punctual and to be have a good sense of time, my friend.
Okay.
All right, so here's the thing. We're going to give you a give you 30 seconds or so to deliver a news story. And again, just do this in your own style. And then I'll put you back on hold. And sometime probably Monday, we'll determine who is Tim Riley for that.
I are ready.
Thank you. All right, sir, go ahead.
The whale that recently beached itself on the Oregon coast has been buried, thwarting a plan by wholesalers to package and market the blubber to local Walmarts and McDonald's. Reached for comment at an all-you-can-eatery, diners said, it's a shame to miss out on what would have been a good mix with their Spam and hot dogs. In other news, the Rose Festival has been canceled due to lack of interest on the part of thinking, well-adjusted citizens. The festival committee is said to be looking for a new direction. And that's today's news.
All right, thank you. All right.
Good job, Pat.
Pat, well done.
Okay. Hey, Pat's better than you and I.
No. I'm just looking at this little Windows second timer that pops up in the screen.
1 through 10 is too much. Can we do 1 through 5?
No, because if you do 1 through 5, then we're going to end up with a whole bunch of people who have the same score.
Well, what did you score?
Well, I can't.
Well, hold it up.
All right, Pat, I'm going to put you back on hold.
Thanks, Pat.
All right, you got to resist the temptation, by the way, to score too high or too low with the first person.
Okay.
Yeah.
You were thinking?
Yeah, that's a good score.
Okay.
All right, okay, there we go. Okay, so we'll use that as a benchmark. Now that we gave Pat that score, that gives us a benchmark of how other people will be rated. The first one's always difficult because with the first person, you always either want to be too gentle or too rough.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be like, well, you get a 1 or you get a 9, you know, or whatever. So, okay. Next up, Matt. Hello, sir.
Hello there.
Hi. Are you ready to give us a 30-second news story?
Pat and Matt.
For your chance to be Tim Riley for a day.
I'm as ready as always.
All right. Give us the news, and then when we're done, we'll put you back on hold.
Fantastic.
Okay, go ahead, sir. Anytime.
Baby Bubba gets a gun permit. Dateline Chicago. Bubba Ludwig can't walk, talk, or open the refrigerator door, but he does have his very own Illinois gun permit. The 10-month-old whose given name is Howard David Ludwig was issued a firearm owner's identification card after his father, Howard Ludwig, paid the $5 fee and filled out the application not expecting to actually get one. The card lists the baby's height, 2'3", weight, 20 pounds, and has a scribble where the signature should be. Ludwig, 30, of Chicago, applied for the card after his own father bought Bubba a 12-gauge Beretta shotgun as a gift. The weapon will probably be kept at Ludwig's father's house until the boy is at least 14.
Actually, where did you find this story, sir, if I can ask?
CNN.com.
CNN.com, because
awesome.
News gathering, of course, is an important part of this job.
Oh, and I'm good at that.
Okay, and I like that you're a relentless self-promoter. Well done. All right, I'm going to put you back on hold, Matt. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go.
Okay, let me see yours.
All right.
I almost did that, but I did that.
All right. Okay, no, fair enough.
It's around the
same. There's no wrong answer here, Sarah. All right, hello, Jeff. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
I can't wait for you to secretly rate me behind my back.
I know, I feel so wrong.
Well, there's no other way to do it. I mean, I can't have the audience vote, because then that's just... Because the audience, then it's going to be some Sanjaya thing, and the audience is going to find some guy who's missing half his tongue or whatever, and then it's not going to work. So, all right, so just do 30 seconds of news in whatever style you like, sir, and then we'll put you back on hold.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
The Champ Car Grand Prix of Portland is coming up next weekend, and to guarantee you a good time, I have a list of do's and don'ts as handed to me by a redneck in a primer gray Camaro. Do arrive early. There's a lot to see. Don't start drinking early. If you pass out, no one will help you. They will only stop to take pictures of you. Don't wait in line for the porta potty. Porta potties are hot and they smell and they're for girls. Do go to the blackberry bushes and pee behind the porta potties. Don't go too far into the blackberry bushes. There's a marsh back there. Do look for my old cell phone in the blackberry bushes. It fell out while I was peeing and I had the phone number of some hot bitches in there. Do start drinking at noon. Don't drink beer. You will spend all day in the blackberry bushes. Do bring white rum or vodka in a water bottle because they do search you as you enter. Don't drink in front of the alcohol police. They are recognizable because they wear blue shirts with yellow lettering with the word alcohol enforcement. They are not known for being sly. Do sit in the top row of the bleachers because you can look down behind you to the walkway and see right down women's shirts. And finally, do stop behind Grandstand K and say hi to the rowdiest, drunkest race fans anywhere, and we'll give you a cold one. Good luck and good night.
All right. Thank you, sir. Did you write that all yourself?
Yes, sir.
Well done.
That was awesome.
Points for comedy.
Thank you.
There you go.
All right. What was his name?
That's Jeff.
Jeff.
All right. Okay. Okay, fair enough.
What did he...
We can't come. Well, let's not.
Well, come on. I just want to see it before I'm
okay.
Same.
No reaction.
Really?
Yeah. Well, we'll talk. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Just hush. All right. And
we'll talk. You sounded scary.
No. I'm just saying. Well, we can talk later about how we're. Because I was thinking about doing delivery, style, originality, comedy. It's just too hard. I'm just going to do one thing. It's hard enough just to figure out a number. Hi, Ken. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Ken? Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? Oh, my God.
Come on, he was right there. How could I not do that?
Is he not there?
Ken?
We need a newsman to be prompt.
I'm confused. I thought you...
I'm going to throw something at you.
I'm sorry. It's been such a long week. All right.
In less than an hour.
All right. There's no
Ken. From here, we'll join others.
Why did you do
that? The largest aerial battle in the history.
We have to do the arachnophobia
time.
Thing before the show's over.
No, I couldn't find it.
Can we get on with this?
Time.
Yeah, sorry. Ken, we're losing.
Is Ken there?
No. Hey, Scotty, who's on one? Is it still...
Maybe it's Ken.
Is it Mark on one? Okay, well, you know, we've got a backup. So we'll take at least one more. This will probably be it, though. If you're on hold, hang on, but this will probably be it. Mark.
All right, here goes. The corpse of an Indian man... Oh, sorry, the title is Indian Family Exhumed Son's Corpse to Revive Him. The corpse of an Indian man in Bijapadar, India, was exhumed by his family in a remote eastern village in the belief that a witch doctor could bring him back to life 3 days after he died. Arun Maji, 21, died after he was bitten by a snake while scouring the jungle near his home for firewood last Thursday, and his grieving family buried him the same day. 2 days later, Majee's mother dreamt that her son could come back to life. On Sunday, they dug his grave, exhumed the corpse, and hired Nabata Sahu, a local witch doctor, who promised to do his best. I am sitting beside my son waiting for him to come back to life, Bibisan Maji, Arun's father, told Reuters Television as he fanned Arun's corpse, which was covered with a mosquito net. With Arun still dead 2 days after the witch doctor was hired, the family gave up and reburied him in Bijapadar village on the eastern side of Orissa. And that's about it.
You know, I got to tell you, whether intentionally or not, you do have many of Tim's personal mannerisms down. All right. Excellent. Mark, thank you so much.
Thank
I'm going to put you back on hold, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Hold on. Making a little... Okay. There we go. Well, Sarah, are we done? Do we have anything else?
No, I have like 2 minutes.
You don't have the arachnophobia thing?
No, because it wasn't the arachnophobia thing. It was just somebody put Cat Stevens' Cats in the Cradle, or not Cats in the Cradle, I can't remember, some Cat Stevens song. And it just had a bunch of montages from the movie.
Okay, but now if we can just take it all the way back to the beginning, if we can just come full circle. We spent the first half an hour of today's show talking about Bill Pullman and who is America's blandest actor. Let me just say this. Here's how bland he is. He's not even in arachnophobia. That's the thing. But you think he is. Everybody thinks he is. I can just suggest anybody. But you found some thing on the net that looked like Bill Pullman in arachnophobia. Because
mm-hmm.
Who really knows what
it
that guy's in
Daniels,
and what he's not.
I guess.
Yes. But see, that's exactly what I was saying.
This is a bland white man.
Yeah, totally. Jeff Daniels, Jeff Bridges, William Hurt, and Bill Pullman are all the same person. They are all the same person. It's nobody... All right. Well, we have like, what, a minute before the music starts?
Yeah.
All right. Well, before we then, let's... Scotty, could you just enter the studio one more time? I'm not going to play the sound again. We'll just have Scotty come in here. We'll wrap things up. Okay, so I got to...
Do you want to hang on for this?
Yeah. Where did you get that last guy? Oh, wait, here it's at the bottom. It's Mark. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Let me just make sure that's clear.
Yeah. We'll talk after the show.
Hi, Scotty.
How's it going?
All right, so
how's
Scotty?
How's your corn dog, Scotty?
Corn dog is my friend.
All right, here's... I love lamp. You heard it from Scotty. Corn dog is his friend. So, Scotty, so next Wednesday, somebody will be substituting for Tim at the OMSI Body World 3 exhibit. And then if they're good, they will do at least part of the new news hour with us next Friday, if they're able to do that. But then next Friday afternoon, see, last weekend you co-hosted with Dennis on the car show.
You're moving on up.
Next Friday, you'll be doing afternoon news during Tom Likas. Are you excited?
Very.
Is it a little unnerving?
I'll tell you what's unnerving is Tim does a lot more than people know.
Yes, he does.
I mean, he is like doing two recordings at one time with two hands and blah, 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 and reading three things and doing it on time without cutting it up.
There is only one Tim Riley, Scott of
James. I agree. Right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
It sounds like it was a question.
I'm glad you concur, though. Thanks.
Did you get that 2-second email I sent you?
Ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Lisa Goddard and Jim Roop for joining us today, as well as Cross Country Nate. Don't forget, Cross Country Nate joins us in the studio live tomorrow, and our good friends, the Young Immortals, performing live in the studio tomorrow. Rick Emerson, show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah Excellent for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, it's Tim Riley. The PA is Scotty Jane. Of course, the gatekeeper is Dave Zinn. Like us next, Donna Mike at 7. Don't let the bastards grind you down and try to help the retarded. See you all tomorrow now, kids. Bye.